about. You gotta put it in
In session and called to order.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I think Batman and Robin are...
queer.
How dare you!
You know something? Against all odds, you have a point.
Beer mug's fat. Fat, 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 fat. Beer mug's fat. Fat, fat, fat. Beer mug's fat.
Now, myself, I'm a sort of tubby, out of shape, unathletic person. How hard would it be to work with someone like me and to get him busting moves like you?
I swear to God, if you guys keep giving Beer Mug any more airtime, I'm going to go down there and genital slap everyone.
And now.
I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything.
Our feature presentation.
That is the arts. It's hard to argue with.
Laughter.
Sad.
Sad.
Cry.
That's everything.
That's the arts.
Is it true, Beer Mug, that you are going to be on another red carpet coming up here very soon?
Oh, yeah.
Where are you going? What are you doing?
The VMAs.
Nice.
Oh, the Music Awards. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be great because you never have any idea who's coming down the red carpet. And there are a lot of people that you don't know. Genres of music you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
All the whole thing.
Yeah, there's no way to prepare for a gig like that. You're just going to have to rely on your wits. But Muggs doesn't have to prepare for something like that because he mainly talks about himself.
That's an excellent point.
And he does know that topic.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's in front of you if your only topic is Beer Mug.
Right.
That's an excellent point.
If you were to write a score, a musical score about me, well, I know you just met me, but what would it be like?
Exactly. Wow, my tape is screwed up here. Hang on 1 second. All right. Here's the deal. I love the news. This is Bean speaking. I love the news. I watch the news. I enjoy the news. I live for the news. I like to stay current, as you guys know. But I also hate the news so much. And part of the reason that I hate the news, and we've talked about some of these things over the years, is I guess they feel like they know what works, and maybe they do, and maybe I'm wrong to criticize. But for instance, when there's a shooting at a McDonald's and in another city, they put the news anchor out in front of a McDonald's and say, it was in a McDonald's much like this one where the shooting went down.
Yeah, that drives me.
It drives me insane.
But I love that.
Really?
Yeah, just because it's so stupid.
But it's so stupid.
It was a McDonald's just like this one. We've all seen a McDonald's. We know what it looks like.
Yeah, you can do that story from the studio.
And that makes me laugh.
I guess they just feel like people are more likely to watch if you're not paying attention. There appears to be some more urgency to the story. If somebody is on location, it must be important. It's just like you don't have to send somebody out to stand out in the middle of the weather when it's hot. I mean, you can understand that it's hot from people inside the studio. You don't have to make your on-the-street reporter stand outside for 8 hours and sweat in order to bring you that news, right?
You're describing every reason I love the news.
Well, nowhere is this more annoying to me than in hurricane coverage. Because in hurricane coverage, every single TV station has to send a guy out, usually without an umbrella, to stand there and hang on to a light pole because the wind is blowing so hard and barely be able to be heard and water up to his knees as if they can't just have a camera inside the building shooting out and showing us the weather if they want to.
Bean, you know so little about news.
Yeah, well, and if you don't see a human being practically being lifted off his feet, how exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's cool.
Well, here's a little bit of the CBS This Morning show and their reporter that they have, where Hurricane Isaac, by the way, has turned into a pretty big deal. One levee did break late last night, and I think the water's up to 12 feet in some places. I mean, there are people now, just like in Katrina, who have lost everything. So it's a very serious storm. But here's how it went when they threw it out to that reporter this morning.
Isaac remains a large Category 1 hurricane capable of dumping more than 15 inches of rain. It's moving north-northwest towards Arkansas and is starting to weaken as it moves over land. Byron Pitts is in New Orleans, which is being battered by Isaac on the 7th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Byron, I've been watching you all morning blowing in the wind. Are you okay?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you so much. You know, I was in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina, and trust me, Isaac is no Katrina. But with that said, there are serious problems here. Close to a half...
At some point, do they go, you know what, this sounds crappy, it looks crappy, we could do a better job someplace else. Let's not put this guy in the middle of the street, barely being able to stand.
You could put him in a hotel lobby or something, looking out.
No, that's scary.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure, of course you could. Wait, it gets worse.
1 million people in Louisiana are without power. The one harrowing story from the man in Plaquemines Parish, south of New Orleans. There he called to the local CBS station, WWL, to say that he and his wife in China.
Well, you expect that to happen when you're doing a live shot with the winds barreling down. Byron Pitts reporting live from New Orleans. We'll try to go back to him a little bit later on.
And, of course, the equipment could not sustain working in the storm. And they got cut off about 45 seconds into the report.
But this is where they differ from us, is that we would expect that to happen, so we don't do it.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Remember when we sent lightning out into Hurricane Katrina? That was awesome.
We did.
Yeah, we sent it out in Florida, yeah.
There were people outside when we said, go out, interview them. But that was just...
I don't think that was for Katrina. I think that was another hurricane.
I think it was Katrina.
It was
Katrina, but,
really?
But yeah. It's when it hit Florida. It was before it got to New Orleans.
I didn't realize
we
were there for some of that.
We may have to pull out that tape.
Oh, yeah.
It was great, especially because he was trying to stop people who obviously just wanted to get out of the weather and wanted to get to where they were going. And he was trying to interview them on the street. And they were like, leave me alone.
He could barely stand up. That was awesome. But we did to torture him on purpose.
Right.
Exactly.
We didn't think it was good news.
No, of course not.
Plus, it's hilarious to do it for radio because there's no reason to do it.
Nothing we do is for good news.
That's a good point.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show, shall we?
Exactly. You know it. Wait, what did you say?
There are, there's one girl, and that one girl has two heads.
Yeah, she does, and they do, and they are.
Now,
Brittany and Abby.
Do they consider themselves different people, Bean?
They are different people. They have two brains.
Two brains, okay. But from the neck down, same body.
We'll discuss what organs and what parts they share versus which ones are...
Because what if, one of them has bulimia and the other doesn't?
See?
When
I tell you that they have two stomachs, by the way, it does make it kind of weird to see them eat. But, we met Brittany and Abby last night on TLC, so we do have, we call highlights of that coming up.
Sure. We also have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices today. Very excited about that. You should be dead. We've done this topic before, and it came up again, and that is that near-death experiences, you're really just lucky to still be alive.
Yeah.
And we have many people in our audience that fit that bill. Probably most.
What a surprise.
I would guess. We have Aziz Ansari in the studio today. Very excited about that. Michael Jackson has a new album coming out. Woo!
That's weird.
Right. Putting out some more new music.
He hasn't had a good song in the last 25 years, but apparently this is one from the vaults that is apparently very good. At least one of the new songs that they're talking about is apparently excellent. So I'm curious to hear it, I guess.
So we'll hear that. And we also have brand new Internet Roundup coming up today. That's on this morning's Kevin Amin Show. We'll take a quick break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat now. That's it. It's 106.7 K-Rock KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:49.
Listeners got their money's worth out of that song.
That's right.
The new one from Slightly Stupid is called Top of the World. We've got that coming up along with some Neon Trees, Linkin Park, and, yes, Dramarama. Next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, fresh as today's headlines. Ralph is here now. Time for a first look at the show. What's up, Ralph?
It's moist in here.
It is.
Is it moist?
Moist.
Is there humidity in the air?
There's humidity. It's moist.
Just in this room, or?
Yeah,
okay.
Just in this room.
Odd.
Let's get on that.
We'll get on it.
Let's hope our friend is listening, who loves the word moist, too.
She just fell to the ground.
Running around in circles, holding her ears. Awesome. Well, you know, it's the hottest story in show business, and we were talking about it last week. Superman and Wonder Woman. They're a new couple.
Oh, so exciting.
This is exciting.
This is exciting.
Today is the day... The new
Last night poker, Kevin? Is that what's going on here?
It was, but I didn't go because I was sick.
Oh. So. Then why did you talk about it then?
Because I'm
oh, you have a lozenge.
Yeah.
The Justice League comic hit newsstands yesterday and today, I guess it is. And everyone's talking about Superman and Wonder Woman. So much so that Match.com created dating profiles for the two.
Oh, really?
That have retired stamped on them, because that's what happens when you find somebody on Match.com. You retire your dating profile. So apparently Superman and Wonder Woman have both retired their Match.com profile.
Stop it.
Here's some highlights. Superman's profile. Interests: volunteering, current events, agriculture, air travel, truth, justice, and the American way. See what they did there? Sports and exercise. I like racing bullets, overpowering locomotives, jumping over tall buildings, counter-rotating the earth to fix screw-ups. See, because in the movie Superman, he went backwards in time.
That is helpful. It's a helpful skill.
Wonder Woman, however. Pets I had. I had a mythical winged horse once, but it magically turned into my invisible jet.
Stop it.
College. I completed the Amazonian trials. It's like a master's degree. For fun, battling for justice, stamping out equality, and romance novels about vampires.
Okay.
See what they did on Match.com?
I call bullcrap.
Oh, come on. Ladies, by the way, speaking of which, congratulations. You can now buy on Amazon.com Bic for Her pens. Are you tired of those manly pens you have to write with, ladies? Well, no.
Oh, yes.
Bic for Her.
They don't fit my small hand.
Well,
Ralph.
Luckily for you, Lisa, there's new Bic for Her. That's right. The new slender thin barrel designed to fit a woman's hand in pastel colors. It also has a diamond engraved barrel for an elegant and unique feminine style. It's Bic for Her.
I love the new colors.
How long until we hear Lisa's commercials?
Yeah.
You know, I was at my boyfriend's house, and I wanted to write something down, and his pens are just always so bulky and big. But luckily for me, I got out my Bic for Her pen. I leaned on my jam box, and I made all the notes I want to make about my new universe. Network. Yeah, whatever. Amazon's online viewers are having a good time with this product, as you can imagine. Finally, is the cry from many reviews on the product. Man pens have always been so tricky and hard to use and so unsightly.
That's right.
Now, thanks to Bic for Her, I can take my pen anywhere. No more lugging a heavy, bulky man pen around.
This is creating a problem that does not exist.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, writes another review. She pens. But then I noticed they had no fluffy tops. What the hell, Bic?
Yeah, Bic.
What's a pen with for her without some glitz and glamour? Now you're just toying with me.
Stop it.
And my favorite review on Amazon to come, worst tampons ever. So, I just want to let the ladies know you can get your own Bic pens.
That is good news.
Was Prince Harry stripping while playing billiards the most G-rated portion of his trip to Las Vegas?
I hope.
Sources are saying that was indeed the case. A guest at the shindig reportedly took some video of Harry partying with three women in his bedroom. And there have been a few inquiries to see how much the footage is worth.
What kind of friends are these, by the way?
They're friends. These are people he met in the bar downstairs at the hotel, Kevin. He went down and gathered up just a passel of girls and put them on the elevator and took them up to his VIP suite.
That's what I would do. That's what he should do.
When you play with strangers, stranger danger. Did you ever hear about stranger danger?
Oh, I did hear about that. That's true.
You run the risk of someone videotaping you banging out with three girls and then selling the video. Also reportedly, there is, allegedly, footage of him and a few buddies using coke and hallucinogenic mushrooms in the suite as well. Which would, I think, be more damaging to the royal reputation than even the sexual dalliances.
First of all, F the royal family.
Wow.
Second of all, glad he's having fun.
Wow, what have they done to you?
Isn't it weird, though, that I can't imagine that there are any consequences for Prince Harry? I mean, he can't
immunity!
He can't lose his job. What are they going to do to him?
Yeah, they'll just say stop it.
He's in the military.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's an issue there.
Oh, no. They'll make him not fight in the military anymore? He'll just have more free time to do blow and bang hookers?
He sleeps on a bed of million-pound notes. I mean, this is going to bother him, whatever anyone says or does, right? He's still Prince Harry.
There will just be fallout for the royals, and they will be angry with him. And
he's good. I like to see that.
The fallout is,
have you ever had your mom ticked off at you? Your dad? Your grandma?
Nothing worse than your mom being ticked off at you.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
His mom won't be ticked off at him because she's dead. But I'm saying the family, you know.
His grandma's a bitch.
Oh, can you imagine having to walk into that long hallway into her office and sit there and she got the corgi yapping on her lap and you just have to roll your eyes and she's going to give you a dressing down? No, thank you. I'm just saying.
I'm sure the queen is not amused, though. I'll tell you that.
Oh, she's
got never amused.
Gonna be cheesed off. How about when she was all smiles at the Olympics? Remember when she did the James Bond video? She came out. She was fist pumping, big smile on her face,
just a giant frown.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
constipated is what she looked like.
And you know, I love the real life superheroes. These people who dress up and go out there and fight crime.
I love them too.
Take care of business
because they're crazy.
Cause they step up, Kevin, because they have the balls to do what you won't do.
Dress up like a superhero and fight crime.
Forget Batman and Spider-Man and Captain America, my new favorite superhero, comes out of Australia. I introduce you to Wheel Clamp Man.
I'm sorry?
Wheel Clamp Man.
Can they work on that name? Because
Wheel Clamp Man. I like it. WCM apparently goes around in a spandex costume. And he uses an electric grinder to rescue cars that have had wheel clamps put on them for parking violations. You know when they put the boot on your car? After you got too many tickets,
so he just saws
he goes
it
around
off.
in a mask and a costume, and he gets a grinder and then takes it off your car.
Sweet,
releases your car. He's a vigilante.
I'll bet the police are not happy with that one.
They say apparently he is not a friend of theirs. He says he was inspired to act after he got clamped himself, and in return for saving drivers, he asked for a small donation that he reportedly gives to the homeless. Police say he is committing an offense of criminal damage. We will deal with him. No, you'll never catch Wheel Clamp Man. They put a giant clamp signal in the sky when someone gets the boot on their car.
It's the worst sounding superhero ever.
I don't know, man.
Wheel Clamp Man.
He's there. Lozenge Boy. That would be your superhero name. That's a bad name. Just sucks lozenges. Mumbles. Today's celebrity birthdays. Courtney Stodden. Our friend Courtney Stodden, the lunatic 16-year-old girl who married that 50-year-old actor, Doug Hutchinson.
Yeah. She's crazy.
She's crazy, and today she turns 18 years old. It's finally legal for him to have sex with her. Thank God.
That's good, because I'm sure they've been waiting.
Me too. Actress Lea Michele from Glee is 26 years old. Carla Gugino, who I just adore in everything that she does. She's going to be in that new series, Political Animals.
She's been in it. Yeah.
It's been already on?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen any of it. She's 41 years old. Rebecca De Mornay, very talented actress, is 53 years old today. Robin Leach, former host of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Remember that?
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
It would show you how much better.
Champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
How much better rich people have it than you.
That's right. It was just footage. It was like Rich Cribs. They would just go to people's houses and just rub your nose in the fact that they are living a life that you will never attain in
your
life.
Do you have
this?
No, you don't.
And people loved it. They would tune in by the millions to watch rich, famous people just be rich and famous.
Yep.
I think that was really the beginning. Now
we
got the Kardashians and all that other stuff. I mean, I think people love to look in people's windows. And actor Elliot Gould, legendary actor from MASH and other feature films, is 74. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So TLC, which as you know stands for the Freak Show Network, has a new program called Abby and Brittany. I prefer to think of it as two heads, one body. It is their latest human oddity program, and it's two girls who have I guess it's two girls who share a body, basically, is what it is.
I don't know. I don't know how you describe it.
A Siamese twin.
How much of their bodies do they share? I know they have two separate heads and two separate brains.
We will hear that clip from the show. We do have audio from last night's show. Here's the introduction, and you're going to notice something that is either going to annoy you or it's going to fascinate you. Right. I am in the latter camp. I am fascinated by the fact that these two girls, who are 22 in this episode of the show, and by the way, TLC followed them when they were 12. They had a series when they were 12. Then they revisited them and did another series on them when they were 16. And now they're doing them again at 22 as they prepare to leave college and enter into the work world.
All right.
So they're very comfortable in front of the cameras. They've been on TLC on and off for a number of years. But they have two separate brains, two separate personalities, but you can't imagine how much they think alike. They finish each other's sentences in a way I've never heard people do before. It's almost like they're thinking with one brain.
Right.
Listen to the way they talk. It sounds like they're making it up, but it's real.
My name's Abby Hensel, and I'm Brittany Hensel. We are 22 years old. People have been curious about us since we were born.
for obvious reasons. We're identical twins who aren't conjoined. But our parents never let us use that as an excuse. While life as a conjoined twin sometimes has its challenges, we were raised to believe that we could do anything we wanted. So we do. We like to think that the most amazing thing about us is we're just like everyone else. We really are normal, but I'm definitely more normal than Brett. Whatever. Anyways, this is the story of our normal, regular life. Well, our normal conjoined life.
Okay, so when the show starts and I hear that, I go, I hate these girls and I want to kill both of them, okay? Because they keep talking like that to each other. And you think that they're doing it because they're obviously having them read a script to introduce themselves to the people who may be watching this show for the first time. But the reality is that they do that all the time on their own. They start sentences and then both finish them at the same time. And it's freaky.
By the way, let me just butt in and take an exception with something they said, which is that they're just like everybody else. I'd like to suggest you're not.
Wouldn't it be great if they could sing?
Hey, wow. About five times last night, they said something like that, and I said out loud to finish their sentence, except you have two heads!
Right.
Which is something that it's kind of hard to get past.
It's a pretty big difference. It's not like it's a minutia.
Here's another example of how they talk as they introduce the roommates. Now, as I mentioned, they're graduating from college as episode one is shot of Abby and Brittany, and they're introducing you to some of their seven college roommates, by the way.
Okay.
How big a place are they living in? If they got seven other roommates plus them.
This is our house. We have seven roommates. It's always crazy. Always busy, but it's fun. These are our roommates. This is Katie, Allie, and Kayla.
Is it freaky? Does it weird
stop
you out?
Talking it's like an at echo. The same time.
I don't think they can stop it. I don't. Here's one more of them talking together.
We are about to graduate. You don't know where you're going to get a job. You don't know where you're going to live. So we're trying to find as much hangout time with our friends as we can.
I mean, it sounds like they're doing it like an act, right? It sounds like they're on stage doing some sort of a comedy bit.
How do they
date?
Like, one of them must fall in love with somebody and the other one must fall in love with somebody else?
I gave a lot of thought to this, and I don't know if TLC gets into this. Now, this is the first show that they've done where they're of age where they could discuss stuff like this, but... I mean, you share so much with your sister that I almost feel like you have to kind of agree on who's the guy you're going to have sex with, right?
Yeah, you'd have to check with the other person, I would think.
Because the other person will definitely be there, that's for sure.
And that would suck because they could hate that person.
And that particular part, they share.
Yes.
They only got one of those.
In fact, here's Aaron, a good friend of theirs, the one who's throwing on their 22nd birthday party, who is describing the biology, and this is what I was most fascinated with.
There's still things that we're figuring out about each of them just because there are so many things that they share and that they are so alike in. I don't know all the specifics. They have two hearts, two sets of lungs, two stomachs, and then I think everything like below the waist is just one, like they have one reproductive system.
So, yeah, Lisa, you're right. So they're sharing a vagina, basically. So if Sister A wants to be with some dude and Sister B doesn't like it, doesn't matter. Sister B is going to be with him, too.
Right. But above the waist, everything else is separate. Yeah. Separate hearts, separate lungs. Wow, that's weird.
I wonder if they will date.
Do not smoke weed. That's going to affect me. Sorry.
And it's interesting when you look at them. I mean, they're not unattractive girls by any stretch of the imagination. They have a thin, good figure. If you consider, you know, what they got going on. I mean,
get past both heads,
right? I'm saying it's not that freakish as you might expect it would be. Look, we've all seen pictures of the unfortunate kids who are born where their heads are attached like to the top or something like that, and they have to walk around like a crab or something. They have a very normal bottom half and torso, and then it gets a little bit wider at the top, I guess, to accommodate both heads.
How much room do they have? Could they headbutt each other?
No,
they're too close.
But their faces are not quite touching. They can touch if they want. They're a couple of inches apart.
Right.
I'm curious what's going on in the boobs, though, because you can't tell watching the show.
Do you think there might be four?
There might be three. There might be four. There might be two.
Separate lungs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think somebody needs to make somebody an offer for that show to happen. But you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
What's it like when the girls go out? One of their friends is discussing.
Our group of friends, we do a lot of things out. We go to a lot of concerts, games, shows. And it's amazing to me because everywhere that they go, they get the stares, they get the looks, they get the remarks generally. And I just don't know how they do that every day. That was one of... live just like everyone else does. And I think that's part of what has helped it be so normal, is that there's no difference between them and any one of us. Like, they just do anything that anyone wants to do.
Except they have two heads, by the way. That is one small difference.
There's a small difference, and that's they have two heads.
Look, I can't tell how representative Abby and Brittany's real life is compared to what we're seeing on this television show, but just from what you saw last night, and I only watched episode one, they had a second episode that aired afterwards. But
how could you not stay tuned for the second episode?
Because I didn't want to miss Chris Christie's speech at the RNC. So
that's the worst reason ever.
They seem to have an extremely close group of friends and a loving family,
yeah.
And they seem to have a great time and a great attitude, and it's just insane. I mean, when you think about what it must be like, think about how you would feel if that were your life, and how easy it would be to be angry and bitter. The attitude is inspirational. It really is. And they do have completely different personalities. Despite how similar they sound, they are different people. And I wonder how often they get treated as one person.
Oh, I imagine all the time.
Here's
another
friend.
One of them play sports and the other one not?
And it's been dragged all over a soccer field?
That'd be weird.
Here's another friend who's talking about what it's like to have two friends in one body.
I feel like I have a very equal friendship and relationship with both Abby and Brittany, which I think is really cool because I've never felt like I'm closer to one or the other. I feel like I've really gotten to know both of their personalities, and I can tell like when I'm talking to Abby versus when I'm talking to Brittany, and like who wants to do what.
Imagine if you really liked one of the girls, you were really close with other girls, and just hated, like always rubbed the other girl the wrong way, and you just fought all the time. Would that be crazy?
If you had the chance to nail them, though, you'd have to, right?
Absolutely. And would it even be a threesome? I was thinking about this, too. If there's one set of body parts below the waist, is it even a threesome because they have two heads?
It depends on how many breasts.
It's just one more person giving you directions, as far as I can tell. Nothing else is...
Four boobs, they have two heads. As you pointed out yesterday so delicately, two mouths.
Well, of course, yeah. And by the way, here's one more clip, and this is another thing that I'd like to see more of, and it's even hard for me to explain. Imagine how difficult it would be, Lisa, for you, for instance, and a friend, you use your left arm and she uses her right arm, and you try to accomplish all the stuff that you do in a day. Imagine tying your shoes with a different person handling the other hand.
So each person handles that arm?
Yes.
And their brain controls that arm.
So they could fight each other.
Yes, they could. Of course they could. Yes.
Awesome.
That's what Kevin wants to know. That's all he wants to know. Can they headbutt each other? Can they fight each other?
They show them in the kitchen just whipping around, cooking, pulling things out of the oven, breaking eggs, you know, making pancakes and all that stuff in complete unison. I mean, it's something they don't even have to think about. It's just something that's so ingrained that they've been doing. Obviously, since they were little tiny kids, they've had to learn how to do this. But it's just astonishing to watch how well they work together. And here's why.
We're very coordinated, and I feel like because we've learned together to be coordinated. Well, I control the right side, and I control the left side. Everything's just easy and natural for us. When it comes to decisions, we definitely compromise, obviously, because we have to all the time. But we definitely take turns on things and what we want to do, or like work it out where each of us is happy and try to find a happy medium between things.
Even when they say they say it at the same time, by the way.
You know what's funny? It's like rap groups when one guy's rapping and then another guy says the last word with him.
Yes.
That's what it's like. I don't know
how much I'm going to stick with Abby and Brittany. I mean, it's presented as just so normal and natural and wholesome, and it's not quite the freak show that I was looking for. I was looking for the medical oddity aspect of it. Kevin, you're going to be disappointed because they don't fight.
Come on now. But you've only seen one episode.
There's
no way if they have completely different personalities, they don't get upset at each other.
Oh, I'm sure they do. But I mean, look, how long... Talk about don't go to bed mad. Yeah. I mean, you don't have any choice. You're stuck with this person. I mean, how long could you let a fight or an argument go if you're these two? I mean,
you have to work it out. A wet willy, the whole thing. It'd be fun.
You have to work it out because you want his help. You want her help washing her side of the body in the shower in the morning. So you can't exactly fight over it. But anyway, that's Abby and Brittany. It airs Tuesday nights on TLC.
Oh, I love.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday morning here on the world famous K-Rock. Aziz Ansari joins us in the studio later on today. I didn't realize it until producer Dave just mentioned today would have been Michael Jackson's 54th birthday.
Oh, who knew?
I didn't. He's been dead, about 3 years now, I guess, something like that, 2 or 3 years he's been gone. But new music is on the way, believe it or not. It's hard to imagine that they have left great songs, if there are any, in the vaults all this time and have not released them, you know, over the last 25 years or so. But apparently they have a bad reissue coming out, his album Bad, celebrating its 25th anniversary soon. And they're releasing the album along with a bunch of new songs that have never been heard before.
Don't you think when he was going through all of his financial trouble that they would have found whatever they had and tried to put them out and make some money?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I do. That's why I'm so surprised. This article that I read talks about the quality of these songs and how good they are. They're going to release Bad and then another disc of all new songs and then a third disc of a live CD that Michael Jackson performed at Wembley Stadium back in 1988 and then another one with a bunch of videos. It's going to be a whole big box set. But we're most intrigued by these new songs. So we said, hey, let's fire up the old Hotline to Heaven, get a hold of our pal Michael Jackson and find out what he can tell us about these songs ahead of their release. Michael, are you there?
Damn out! Good morning. Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean, nice to hear from you again after all the times when you've ignored me now.
Well, it has been a while since we've checked in with you.
Yes, it has been a while. I don't get a lot of visitors up here.
We're sorry, Michael.
It'd be nice if you'd check in once in a while.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We will definitely do more, try to think of more reasons to get in touch with you. What? How's heaven these days? You're all settled in now? You enjoy it? You love it?
I still have some stuff in boxes, but, you know, putting the place together now, getting a decorator come by. There's only so much you can do with clouds.
Yeah, that's true. You're kind of limited a little bit.
Good point.
Right? So you'd be happy to know you still have millions of fans around the world who are very excited about the news, about your new songs coming out soon.
Yes, they're going to re-release a new version of Bad called Worse. and I can't wait for you to hear some of my great music that you never got to hear the first time around.
Now, I thought all of that was put out on the album that you put out just after you died.
Oh, no, no. There's so many wonderful songs still in the vault that my fans haven't had a chance to hear yet. And I'm really looking forward to them to hear the true nature. And it's going to surprise them because the music is so raw and so different and so unlike anything they've heard from me. I think they're really going to enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, look, we don't want to put you on the spot here, but is there any way you can give us a sample? Maybe let us know kind of at least what they sound like?
Well, we have 8 new tracks.
Right.
On Bad 25. And any in particular that you want to hear?
Well, just any of them would be fine with us.
How about this Don't Be Messing Around is one that a lot of people are talking about.
Okay, sure. I'll play a little bit of that.
Don't Be Messing Around.
Don't be messing around. I'm serious. Don't you mess around.
Okay, wait.
Don't you mess around.
Michael, that is just
Don't mess around. Woo!
That's just a retread of your song, Billie Jean, that came out on the album before Bad. That's not new.
How dare you? That is raw, fresh, new music that the fans are going to love to buy on Bad 25.
But that's just a reheated Billie Jean.
Bad 25 available on September the 18th.
All right. How about, maybe that one wasn't the one I was hoping for. How about Streetwalker? That's another title, an intriguing title from a new Michael Jackson song.
I'm on the street and I'm walking. Look at me walk. I walk right down the street.
Yeah.
I'm using my feet. Use my feet. Ooh!
And that song was complete. You wrote that and you were satisfied with that. You signed
that
off.
A wonderful song. It carries so much emotion for me. It tells the story of that one time I walked down that street.
The background music sounds a lot like Billie Jean still, though.
I think you're just hearing what you want to hear.
Okay.
Couldn't be more different.
Okay.
It's not that it's not a huge thrill to have the dead Michael Jackson on the Hotline to Heaven, but we only have time for one more. Could we hear some of I'm So Blue, which is being talked about as the first single from Bad 25?
Sure, absolutely.
All right.
I'm So Blue.
I'm so blue. I'm not green or red. not purple. I'm not lavender. Freaking blue.
That's not...
I'm so blue.
It sounds like you're making all of these up on the fly.
September 18th, pick up the new copy of Bad 25.
Okay. All right, thank you, Michael.
No one cares what I think, but that's a really good song, right?
That is a good song.
Mm-hmm. Slightly Stupid with two O's. That is Top of the World here on the World Famous Q-Rock. It's Wednesday. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for a brand new Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com. You can see all of these videos and more. Some of them we don't get to highlight because they don't have very good audio. But you know the song by Psy? Open Gundam Style?
No.
Sure. Whatever that is. This song. Taking over the world.
Open Gundam Style.
Well, somebody took that song and made a mashup of that with LMFAO. Sexy and I Know It.
Oh, really?
And that's the first video on Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Sexy and I Know It.
Open Gundam Style.
This had to happen.
It's pretty well done.
Yeah.
It had to happen. There was no way that wasn't going to happen. As soon as you heard Gangnam Style, that's the first thing you thought is, oh my God, it sounds like an LMFAO song. So yeah, put them together. That's great.
This is a weird one that you're going to watch several times because you can't kind of get your head around it, but it's an Indian song. It's a bizarre hit on the YouTube. It's called It's My Life, and this guy really is singing, and he's got another woman that's asking him questions in song. And then he tells his answer. It's the most bizarre thing.
My mother sees me and she always bothers. My father trusts me and treats like his father.
Hey. What the hell do you think of yourself?
Yeah. So she asks some questions and then he answers with a song.
Huh?
Bizarre. Flight of the Conchords. Loved, 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 loved.
Awesome.
They got back together for a children's charity. And they interviewed a bunch of kids, and they came up with some lyrics to a song from what the kids said. So the kids said, feel inside and stuff like that with kids, and this is the song that they wrote.
Feel inside and stuff like that. Open up the lids.
So good to hear them again just for one song.
Yeah.
And it is fun. That's a fun video to check out, too, because for 5 minutes before the song kicks in, you see them doing Flight of the Conchords type stuff, interviewing these kids. And it's super fun. And by the way, it's like a We Are the World style video for these guys. Everybody else is a New Zealand celebrity and they're raising money. But man, I wish. Why can't HBO or whoever pay them enough money to do that TV show again? Come on.
I don't think they want to. I think that's the deal.
They want to go home.
They just want to go home.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember floppy drives. This is a pretty short window of opportunity where floppy drives were the way you save stuff on a computer instead of a USB or something like that. So these floppy drives make actual noise. This guy took the noise and made it into a song and played the Ghostbusters theme with the sound that comes from the floppy drives. Does that make sense?
I can't imagine.
How much time do you have on your hands?
Wow.
Like, well, how does that occur to you? How long does it take?
Even if you had that much time on your hands, why would you want to do that?
How's that your choice? Here's a magician who drives through drive-thrus, and which is what you do generally. And he's got a floating coffee cup in his car.
Oh,
and the
cool.
People that are inside the restaurant are freaking out because they can't figure out why there's a floating coffee cup in his car.
Do you not see his cup floating in midair? Are you doing that?
You guys
please continue to move forward.
Please continue to move forward. I am uncomfortable with your magic.
I love that one. She looks like the manager of the McDonald's who comes up and she just won't have any of it. She slams the drive-thru window of the guy and says something about it, Satan's power or something like that. He doesn't want to deal with it. It's pretty funny.
Go to kevinandbean.com for the Internet Roundup. You can also see the leaked official Apple iPhone 5 promo. And they've narrowed it down to what people have finally – what people use the iPhone for the most. And that is taking pictures of their food. That seems to be the big thing.
That is popular.
The iPhone 5 is a game changer. Its photos are sure to garner all the likes, hearts, pluses, pins, stars, reposts, reblogs, retumbles, and retweets that you've used to replace human connection in your life.
And then they go with self-deportation station. This is Mary Steenburgen and George Lopez. And basically, this is a way for illegal people to send themselves back home.
Right now, Arizona is just an okay place to live, and it's getting more not okay because of illegals, which is why I came up with this, the self-deportation station. Here's how it works. If you suspect someone is living here illegally, call us.
Hello?
Yeah, there's a Mexican in my neighborhood.
In under 10 minutes, a self-deportation station will be on its way.
And then supposedly, the person who's illegal is supposed to climb in and lock it, and then they send it back home.
See, it's a trap, Kevin, because you open the door to see what's in it, and it has all sorts of Mexican food, and it's playing like ranchero music, and there's a Morrissey poster on the wall.
I got to get in closer to see more.
Everything that is attractive to Mexicans, it draws them into the box, and then, of course, the box closes up and seals off, and they send it away.
Breaking Bad, one of the best TV series ever. Aaron Paul, the younger star on that show, and they do a Breaking Bad spinoff series, sort of like Seinfeld.
I eat a lot of frozen stuff. It's usually pretty bad. The pictures are always so awesome. You know? It's like, hell yeah, I'm stoked for this lasagna. And then you nuke it, and the cheese gets all scabby on top. And it's like you're eating a scab.
Pretty well done. Because they took an actual scene from Breaking Bad and envisioned what it would look like as a comedy. Very clever.
This is how The Dark Knight Rises should have ended. There are about, I don't know, 12 different endings that they suggest perhaps might have been better than the way it ended.
Okay, I'll just scan my hand here.
This is his butler, and he's flooding the tube. Remember where the weapon was?
Oh, yeah.
He's flooding it with water.
Oops. I seem to have activated the emergency flood chambers. I suppose this will put a hiccup in whatever plans you had with stealing the reactor, wouldn't it? I do apologize. Well, get busy swimming or get busy dying.
I love that.
And finally, on Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup at KevinandBean.com.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
A teenager who has no arms says playing the guitar with his is easy.
Get your groove on at the Long Beach Fest.
Chefs, your challenge was to create a dish utilizing skin.
LL Cool J can add to his resume.
Yeah, I'm getting all up.
That's on Jimmy Kimmel Live, which is at 12:05. And by the way, in January, is moving to 11:35. Yes. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup, kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Taking your stories of near-death experiences coming up next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show, plus the Wheel of Animal Voices. Right now,
what?
Ralph is here. Nothing? Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now, 6:53.
Don't make me come over there. Do not want it. Damn Wheel of Damn Animals. Damn.
Gonna be good.
Hey, I got a reason to watch Saturday Night Live again.
What's that?
Saturday Night Live has announced it will kick off its 38th season on September the 15th with host Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah! Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I would actually watch that.
My buddy Seth's going to be on SNL.
That'll be fun.
It will be fun. He'll be very funny. Looking forward to that. By the way, speaking of Seth MacFarlane, the Ralph Garman Ted screen-worn costume.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's on eBay?
It's still on eBay. It's way up there now at $51. So.
Oh.
People are breaking
the
bank.
How many people are bidding?
Three.
Wow.
Three people in a bidding war
for
my screen-worn costume from Ted.
If we could talk to any of you three, if you're listening, we would love to.
Now, Bean said you can find the people and contact them. I tried that, but it maybe this is just for this particular auction, but it says private bidder, identity protected or something.
Oh, so
I can't.
Okay.
I can't even send an email to these people.
It's like one of those, the Sultan of Brunei or something.
That's
over
what
there,
it is, yes.
On the phone.
The Sultan of Brunei wants to own my Ted costume.
Yeah.
He's trying to create a world of mannequins that everyone's dressed like the movie Ted.
He's got a proxy in the room that's putting up his little hands.
He's got an actual Ted that he's built that walks around.
Yes.
And he's going to create that whole world.
Was there a real Ted in the movie? Were there?
There was a faux Ted.
There was. I wonder if that's for sale, too, because that seems like that'd be the item to own from the movie,
I
right?
I can't imagine that will ever go up for auction. I'm sure that's probably in Seth's home somewhere.
Sure.
But it was
yeah.
It was a stuffed prototype of what they thought Ted was going to look like. And it ended up pretty much looking like Ted. But we would have the stuffed animal and we would use that as a reference point. And then they would CGI the real Ted on top.
Problem
of it.
With that is it looks like every other teddy bear, I think. Is it unique to that movie or
well,
just
yeah,
looks like a teddy bear?
Yeah, but he's unique.
Right.
They designed him, you know. And stuff.
Not as much as your clothes. I mean, your clothes,
I don't know,
that's
I don't,
the A1
yeah,
item.
Yeah, sure. My costume is unique. I have chinos on.
Sure.
For God's sakes. Can't get those anywhere.
Right.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think it's out yet, but I think soon, certainly in time for the lucrative gift-giving holiday season, they're going to release several versions of a Talking Ted doll.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Awesome.
That you can get for your own. And it is...
Voiced by
Seth.
Oh,
and
sweet.
It says wildly inappropriate, rude, nasty things.
Love it.
It's not for the kids. But I think they have like a 17-incher and then like a 24, 25-inch. Like a good size.
24, 25-inch.
Stop it. And he says rude things.
Love it.
Yeah. Also, other hosts confirmed for SNL this upcoming season. Joe Golev.
Wow. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
September the 22nd.
To the rest of us.
Another great choice.
Along with musical guests Mumford and Sons.
All right.
We're on dead and alive, and we're happy to be here. And here's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's the host of the show. He's the host of the show. Daniel Craig. With okay. musical guest Muse on October
wow.
the 7th.
They're bringing it.
Wow.
So a lot of good stuff going on Saturday Night Live for a change. Beverly Hills Cop, did you like that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Are you looking forward to Beverly Hills Cop, the series?
Not at all. Not really.
Apparently Eddie Murphy and Sean Ryan, who of course was the creative genius behind The Shield.
That was like 20 years ago, wasn't it, Beverly Hills Cop?
Oh, more than that.
More than 30?
30 years ago?
Really?
35? Eddie Murphy's bringing it back. He wants to make a TV series out of it. And reportedly, he will play Axel Foley, who is now the police chief of Detroit.
Okay.
And his son is a detective for the Detroit Police Department. And he has wacky adventures.
Sean Ryan, I like.
Yeah, he's a talented guy.
That's a good mix.
If anybody could bring it, he could. More TV news. ABC has announced they are ordering a pilot for a series of Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Starring Sam Jackson?
No.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if they're going to do the Sam Jackson version or the original comics version, where Nick Fury was a white dude, but I'm sure he'll be wearing an eye patch. Joss Whedon, apparently, is bringing it to the screen.
Oh, no kidding.
Everyone feel good because he, of course, brought us the Avengers. So he's writing the series. Reportedly, will direct the pilot episode. No word on casting yet, so we don't know who will play Nick, but... I got an eye patch just in case Joss is listening.
Just in case?
I keep one in the drawer at all times just in case.
An emergency eye patch?
Slap that on. And Leonardo DiCaprio is doing the new movie with Scorsese called The Wolf of Wall Street. You may have heard about this. And apparently there are some very explicit erotic sex scenes, and word has it that Leonardo DiCaprio may be showing off the full Monty.
Is that right?
For the first time ever in his career.
Hmm. Not interested.
You don't see his...
Little Leo?
It's Little Leo?
Not really.
You don't want to see the Titanic?
It's the Titanic, maybe.
Apparently, the script also requires the actors to mimic using cocaine. So, producers are asking everyone in the cast to practice by snorting baby laxative. Because I'm sure they've never seen or used cocaine before, so they have to learn how to do it.
Since you all have no idea what you're doing.
They're snorting baby laxative, and then it would be so funny if they locked the doors to all the porta potties on the set.
That would be funny
because that'll get to you. Hey, Smash Mouth is coming back, everybody! Woo! Hey, now,
does it say why?
Because everybody loves Smash Mouth.
All right.
They've got not only do they have a new album called Magic that'll be out on September the 4th, but they're also working on a cookbook.
What?
Smash Mouth is releasing their own cookbook.
You're making stuff up now.
It's called Recipes from the Road. And it features some of the food from restaurants the group checked out while on tour. The new Smash Mouth cookbook coming to you soon. And Slash is opening up about his childhood. Told an Australian radio station that when he was a kid, he walked in on his mom getting busy with a dude.
Ooh.
Yeah, his mom was a costume designer named Ola Hudson. She worked with many music stars, actually. And the dude she was banging turned out to be none other than David Bowie.
Really?
Yeah, David Bowie, who she worked with professionally, and then apparently it turned personal, and Slash walked in on mom and David Bowie going at it. The thin white Duke. Giving it to your mom. That's an image you can't quite soon forget.
Nope.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Courtney Stodden is 18 years old today. Liam Payne of One Direction is 19. Leah Michele from Glee is 26. Carla Gugino celebrates her 41st birthday. Rebecca De Mornier is 53. Remember that show is down there in the KDOC? It comes out of Orange County, that local independent channel, called Hot Seat with Wally George was your host.
Oh,
Wally George.
Yeah.
Ridiculously coiffed, wraparound, comb-over hair, like white blonde hair. He was a lunatic. He was...
American flag behind him?
He was the neoconservative lunatic way before Rush or any of these other guys were on radio or television where he would bring people out. But his was a put-on. He'd bring people out just so he could insult them and say they were commies and hippies and stuff and then throw them off his set. That was his famous thing. That's Rebecca De Mornay's dad.
Yeah.
Wally George. A little piece of trivia for you. Robin Leach from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous is 71. And Elliot Gould, super talented actor, celebrates his 74th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hilarious actor and comedian Aziz Ansari joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In about 15 minutes, we'll tell you a tragic story. Well, a near tragic story about a guy who should be dead, but he's alive to tell the tale. And then we're going to be taking your calls of near-death experiences coming up in just a few minutes here at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, what do you have there, Kevin? What's that? What's going on there?
Wheel of Bed Animal Voices.
Oh, how about
standing
that?
By here. You want to hear? You want to hear some of the categories?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. If Survival Kitty is not back on the wheel, I'm going to write a strongly worded letter. By the way,
start writing. The Icelandic worm monster, Erwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo, Toto, the tornado kitten, is on there.
Ooh, tornado kitten.
The Brazilian wandering spider, Houdini, the Australian runaway goat, Thriller, Michael Jackson's tiger in heaven, Brazilian penis snake, the loneliest whale in the world.
Oh,
the turtle that took an unwanted balloon ride. That's not much of a title.
That sounds interesting.
Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten.
Oh, yeah.
The badass super soldier ants. Okay. So that's what's on the wheel, and it's time to spin it, people.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway.
Here's what I like about us, by the way. We've been spinning the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices for years now. We've never received a single positive comment about this.
That's true. Not one.
One person
not
has
an email,
ever come
not
up
a tweet, nothing.
Nope. No one has ever approached us and said, I really like that wheel bit that you guys do. Keep it up. But yet we continue to do it.
Do
so
we care?
No, we don't. Not really. Let's spin the wheel. Let's see who it lands on today.
It was a especially good spin, I believe. Oh, the world's loneliest wheel.
What's going on with the world's loneliest whale? I don't like the sound of that.
It's been swimming Earth's seas since 19... I believe it caught the Navy's attention in 1989.
That's the first they knew of it?
Yes. And the instruments picked up its odd frequency. Most whales have a certain frequency that they communicate on. This whale is trying to communicate, but at the wrong frequency, so none of the other whales can hear it.
Oh, no.
So, to use a timely reference, so everybody else is on CB channel 17, and he's on channel 34 or something, and wondering why nobody's talking back to
good
him.
Good CB reference, yes. Other whales call between 15 and 25 hertz, and this whale is at about 52 hertz. And can't understand why she can't find some type of friend.
That's super sad, by the way. And apparently this whale is also way out of the normal migration patterns for the rest of his kind, too. So he's swimming in empty waters looking for other whales, calling out signals looking for other whales to call back, and he's got nothing. Year after year, he just roams the earth trying to find friends. It's very, very sad. Although it's weird that he has a phone and a cell number we're able to call and get him on the line right
now.
Yeah, well,
that's true.
Even though he's lonely, we can still talk to the loneliest whale in the world, right? Aww. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
Not so good.
You okay?
Hello? Hi. You can talk.
Hi. Yeah, hi guys, how you doing?
Well, we're doing well, how are you?
I'm lonely.
Sounds
like you're sad. So you're out here just swimming alone, by yourself, year after year, calling out on the wrong frequency.
Are you aware that you're calling in the wrong frequency?
What?
Well, most whales are between 15 and 25 hertz, you're at 52, which means... no whales are ever going to hear you.
I don't understand what that means.
You're making the wrong noise.
Oh, That would explain things.
Yeah, since 1989, you've been unable to find a friend.
Yeah, I've been calling. I've been using Evite.
Right.
I've been trying to friend people on my Facebook page.
You have a Facebook page?
I've been tweeting.
Sure. Yeah.
And nobody seems to want to get back to me.
No. Yeah, you've been doing it all wrong. You need some sort of adjustment, it sounds like.
Yeah, see, that's not reaching anyone's ears. That's the problem. I mean, we can hear you, but other whales can't.
You can hear me.
Yeah.
That's great. You want to be friends?
No.
Well, we can only hear you because we're on the phone, though.
You
no one
son
else
of
is talking.
Bitches.
Why are you swimming in the wrong part of the ocean? You'd have a better chance of meeting up with other whales if you would swim down where they swim.
Oh, would I? Well, you told me where to swim in the ocean. It's a pretty goddamn big place.
Well, other whales figure it out.
All I know is just to swim. I'm swimming and I'm calling. What else do I have to goddamn do?
Well, it does seem like all the other whales in the ocean have figured that out.
I can't find one friend.
Oh.
Nobody likes me.
That's sad.
Maybe it's because I live by myself on this water island.
On what?
I live on an island.
Hey, wait a minute.
I got a home. I put a big pink clown on top of it. And
oh, really?
I like to tweet wacky thoughts to all my people who follow me. And I like to go to the post office and read maps.
Do you go to parties or any place where there are people?
Oh, no, heaven forbid.
Oh.
I wouldn't enjoy that one little bit.
Right.
No, I see what's happening. I see what's happening here.
I'm just a big-ass burger-having whale.
Oh, that's too bad.
How this had to turn on me.
That's
I thought this
too
was
bad.
About you.
No,
come
I got
on.
No friends.
He's not talking about you. He's talking about his own life, Bean.
Yeah.
Don't be so narcissistic.
What an ego.
Well, I don't want to be friends with you either then. Oh, nice blowhole. From time to time, we like to talk about near-death experiences. I know I had mine. That time I almost got creamed by that train in Norway. I'll never forget it.
Goddamn train.
Inches away from death as I turned my car onto a train track with an oncoming train. I thought, well, that could have ended very differently. But here's the story that kicked it off, and then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Something happened where you easily could have died, and it's a miracle that you're here today to pick up the phone and call us.
Could have, maybe should have.
Maybe should have, yeah. We talked about this guy a couple weeks ago. He walks out of a bar in downtown Portland on an early Friday morning, and he realizes wisely that he is too drunk to drive. So he says, I'm not going to do that. Now, I don't know why his choice was instead to crawl into a recycling dumpster near the bar.
Because he was really drunk.
And he just saw a soft place to lie down,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, he wasn't thinking.
So he climbs into the dumpster, and sure enough, you can imagine what happens is the trash truck comes and picks it up. Picks up the dumpster and dumps it into the back of the truck. And this is one of those recycling trucks, right?
So he's, 15 feet in the air? Falls into the truck?
Yes, exactly.
Good times. Oh, what a way to wake up besides the hangover.
Right. So the trash truck picks him up and then drives on down the road. And then while it's driving and adding other trash to the truck, it is compacting along the way. And you know what that means. It's got that machinery in there that just squishes all of the recycling stuff, you know, flattens the boxes and whatnot. And miraculously, he starts banging on the side of the truck, and the driver hears him, gets out and looks, and goes, there's a dude in the back of my truck. Like, if it had been more full, there's no way he survives, right? He had
to have some
room to move around, I guess, is the only thing that saved him.
I think he's lucky even with room to move around.
Absolutely, he's lucky, yeah. So the guy was fine. The guy just wanted to walk away, but the trash truck driver said, dude, let's at least get you checked out. So they called the paramedics and had him, you know, checked out for, you know, getting proper medical attention. But he was fine. The driver was a little bit shaken up, but he was fine. But, I mean, this guy has a story that he'll tell the rest of his life about how he was in the back of a trash compactor that compacted twice, and he somehow is still alive. And
that's what a dumbass he is. Good decision to not drive. Okay.
Yes.
Good on you.
A was good.
A,
B.
Good. B, crawl into a recycling dumpster. Not quite so good.
No. So his decision to not drink and drive very nearly got him killed. So what's the lesson for the kids now? What do you do with that information?
Don't drink and drive and don't crawl into a dumpster.
Yes.
Because
dumpsters
get emptied.
Yeah.
So 1-800-520-1067. That is our toll-free number. We want to hear the closest you've ever been to death. Like, how is it possible that you did not get killed? Why don't we start with our man, Art? He is on line one to get us going here on the Kevin DeVito Show. Art, thanks a lot for listening. What's happening, dude?
Hey, what's saw Kevin being Lisa.
Hello, Art.
You should be dead. What happened?
I got stabbed by my ex-girlfriend.
Stabbed, okay.
It sliced my aorta.
Oh.
So, I mean, I know the concept of it. You get a puncture to your aorta and you're dead within minutes.
Right.
Yeah. How were you not?
How did that not happen to you?
I have no idea. And it even took about a half hour to an hour to get me to the hospital.
Wow. What are you, Superman? Now, what's happening with you?
You told Chip that you sort of died on the way. What happened?
Well, actually, doctors had pronounced me dead, and for some reason, I came back to life.
That's weird.
All by yourself? Like, they didn't shock you back to life? Or?
Well, I mean, I did see you walking away from my body, walking into a light, and then I heard a loud voice telling me to go back.
Yeah.
It's not my time.
It's not your time yet. Go back and argue with the doctors.
Correct.
That's an amazing story.
So your
story.
Eyes just opened up and you were alive again. And they were like, hey, that dude's alive.
Yeah, ever since then, it changed my whole life.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Is I wonder, do you live life differently now as a result of that, besides getting away from the crazy lady with the knife?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally changed my life completely.
All right.
Fascinating.
Well, that's good, then.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. By the way,
being dead is closer to death than we were expecting.
Yes. Great point, Kevin. I wonder if people walk toward the light because that's what they expect to see, because that's the common
we've seen
image.
Movies?
Yeah, and that's in the movies. It's a common image. That's it's just like, people see aliens that look like the aliens in the movies because those are the aliens that they're familiar with. I wonder if it's the same thing with the light. I guess I'll never know. Or at least I'll know it'll be too late for me to talk about it afterwards.
I hope you'll know soon.
Let's talk to Daniel. He's on line two, joining us at 1-800-520-1067. Daniel, near-death experience. What happened to you?
I got run over by a bulldozer.
Run over by a bulldozer?
Dear God.
Yeah, I used to recycle cardboard, and I was dropping off a load, and I was walking by. The driver didn't. But normally, by law, they're supposed to put the scoop all the way down.
Right.
He had it about halfway up, and as I was walking, he totally didn't see me because there was it's loud and everything's recycling center, and he just hit me from the back. If the scoop would have probably been maybe about 6 inches to like 8 inches higher, it would have clearly taken off my head off.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I flew like 15, 20 feet, like he hit me and I landed and then I was in shock still, and he still didn't see me, and he kept going forward, and I still had the bruises on my back from the tracks of like the wheel tires. Like it wasn't like a track. They weren't like the bulldozers. It was like the giant wheel.
Right.
You could see the imprints on my back. Where
it sounds like a Stephen King novel.
It is funny that you think he didn't see you, though. That's the funniest part.
Exactly, because I was like about 400 pounds.
What?
Maybe that saved you.
I was massive, and he still didn't see me. And, come a year and a half later, I had an aneurysm and bleeding back in my head. So the doctors probably think that hit probably had something to do with it. But, it changed my life. Like, after that, all that happened, I dropped, like, over 200 pounds. And,
wow.
I'm getting my act together. You know, I'm not selling cardboard anymore. So.
How about that?
Recycling is dangerous.
So, I was going to say, between your story and the guy in Portland in the recycling truck, it sounds like recycling is the problem here.
It's
nothing
a killer.
Else. Thank you, Daniel. We appreciate the call. Josh writes in on the Kevin DeBean Facebook page regarding near-death experiences, guys. I crashed a plane. I had to come in over a freeway under the power lines, clear the grapevines, put it down in a freshly plowed field. The plane was toast, but I managed to walk away. That's my near-death experience. Thank you, Josh. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. More of those next on the Kevin DeBean Show. Wow. A lot of our listeners are lucky to be alive, it's turning out here, Kevin.
Most.
Listen to this. Jenny writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Then we'll get right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067, talking about near-death experiences. She writes, I was 2, and I threw myself from the second story to the parking lot below. My mother did not even take me to the hospital because she was afraid social services would take me away.
Oh, no.
What a tragic, sad story that is. All right, let's get right back to your calls. Why don't we start with Joe? He's on line 2, joining us here on the world-famous K-Rock. I knew it was only a matter of time before alcohol was involved in one of these near-death experiences. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling, man. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin, being with me.
What happened?
When I was 18, it was Halloween, and
had a little bit too much to drink, and on the way to the hospital, they told me I died for about, like, a minute.
Oh, you died for a minute?
Yeah. They had to, like, you know, do CPR, and they revived me back. And I don't remember a thing. And the next day, I woke up in the hospital to, like, Jerry Springer.
You woke up in the hospital to Jerry Springer?
Yeah, that's the only thing I remember. But according to the report I have at my house, it says, heart stopped beating for 1 minute. I had to resuscitate everybody.
Wow.
Now, was this just from alcohol poisoning? And if so, did they tell you what your blood alcohol level was?
Yeah, it was pretty high. I think it was like close to 2.
Wow.
Close to 2. Kevin, even you can respect that.
How dare you.
I mean, that's not Kevin in Vegas, but
how
that's still pretty good,
sir.
Right? Wow. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel almost died in war. Daniel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Near-death experience. You're on.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean? How you doing, Lisa May?
Good, Daniel.
What happened, dude?
We were in the city of Safwan near the Kuwaiti border during room clearings, looking for, like, people who are making bombs, things like that. And I kicked down the door, and next thing you know, I took a round in the chest.
I always think about that first person in. There's got to be somebody that's the first person in, and that person is a sitting duck.
Yeah, pretty much. The door is known as the fatal funnel because all the bullets, if there's anybody going to be shooting at you, they're going to be aiming at that door. And so the objective is to get through as fast as possible. And the protocol is if someone goes down, you don't stop. You keep going in because anybody else is going to get popped.
Right.
So it ended up me. I got popped.
Do you have a bulletproof vest on?
Oh, yeah. I had an IBA on, individual body armor. I took it in the chest. However, I woke up to knock the wind out of me. And I woke up to the medic on top of me going, where's the blood? Where's the blood? I hit him because I didn't know who it was.
You hit the medic.
What's that?
So now you're fighting with the medic that's trying to help you.
I didn't know who it was. All
awesome.
I know is I woke up to someone on top of me, and it ended up being the medic. And I popped him, and he hit me back, and I was like, oh, God, my chest hurts. And he goes, yeah, dude, you broke about 3 of your ribs.
Oh, man.
And, that was probably the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. And all I remember thinking was, I saw the rifle aiming at me, and I'm like, I am so dead.
Oh, man.
Dude, that is tough. Well, are you out of the service now?
I am still currently in.
Wow. All right. Good. Thank you for everything. Good luck. Appreciate the call, too.
Thank you.
You're a better man than us in every way. All right.
Wow. Let's talk to Marie. Marie's on line 5, let's say, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Marie. Thanks for calling.
Hi. How's everybody doing?
Good. Thank you. Near-death experiences.
Yes, I was about 13 years old. I was at the state fair in Oklahoma, and I was riding one of the rides that go upside down. It's just a circle, and it just goes back and forth and then upside down. I was a skinny little 13-year-old, and my mother was not. And this was back in the day when they had a bar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was one size fits all. So when we went upside down, the bar was set to her lap, and I slid right out.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Did you fall?
I caught my foot on the bar, so I just basically hooked my foot on the bar and hung there because they're not supposed to stop the ride, but they did because everybody loves that.
Sure.
So I hung there upside down like 3 times. Every time I went upside down and stopped, I went right back out of the
seat. It happened
they
again?
They didn't see you?
What?
I was screaming. They didn't hear me.
Oh, my God.
Those people at the fairs usually are paying really good attention.
Why didn't your mom grab
Oklahoma.
You?
Well, that was going to say, that was the best part, is that my mom decided it was better for her safety to grab the bar herself and not me.
Wow.
Okay.
That's fantastic. Your mom hated you.
Yeah. I remember when I was hanging upside down, I was looking what was, you know, from my angle up at the ground, and they have this water pit at the bottom of the ride.
Right.
Under most of them. And I remember thinking, will I hit the water before the ride hits me?
Oh, sweet.
Oh, dude. Geez. And how old were you again, Marie?
13.
13. Wow, that's an amazing story. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Travis emails, Dear Kevin and Bean, I saw my ex-wife's mother in the shower. I almost died that morning. Well, not exactly what we're talking about. Kevin writes in, I saw a near-death experience at the Troub last night. They were very good.
Oh, sweet.
They're adding on. Let's go down to line 6, please. Give me Matt. He's got a car-related near-death experience here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Matt. What's going on?
How you guys doing? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
Hey, I was riding home on my bike that was stuck in third gear, and a car ran a red light going anywhere between 55 and 65 miles an hour
and my face went through the windshield.
Oh, my
so
God.
I should have either been blinded, paralyzed, paraplegic or quadriplegic, and I woke up about 36 hours in the hospital not knowing where I was or how I got there, and I could barely see, and all I saw was this big purple thing on my leg, and what it was is it was plaster. It was a plaster cast, and they had a window for the double compound fracture.
Oh my God!
Compound fractures are the worst.
Yeah,
it's my worst nightmare. That's where the bone comes through the skin, you guys.
Ouch.
Yeah, both bones.
Ouch.
In my right leg, so I'm a half inch shorter on my right leg.
But you're alive.
I am alive.
That's a miracle.
And
crazy.
That's only one of the three times I've been close to death.
I do not want to hang out with you, sir.
No, that's all we have time for, but I'm glad you called.
I'm lucky.
Yeah, you're lucky.
You're very lucky. You're very lucky.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. You take care.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Mr. Aziz Ansari is here, guys, in the next room. Going to be joining us right after the top of the hour. Very excited to welcome Tom Haverford from Parks and Rec. Very funny man. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show.
We talk about the fact that Seth MacFarlane is going to be hosting Saturday Night Live, the upcoming season premiere. More casting news just came across the wire as CBS has announced their cast for the 21st installment of the 8-time Emmy Award-winning series The Amazing Race. Here is who you'll be following around the world this season. A couple Chippendale dancers.
Sure.
A world champion lumberjack. A heavy metal rocker. And a double amputee professional snowboarder.
Oh, that guy's going to win, isn't he?
Of course he is. He's so much better than you.
Yeah.
He has no
but
legs.
You too.
And he's a professional snowboarder.
He's better than you too.
I mean you. I mean everyone who's not
okay.
him.
Okay. All right.
Don't get so personal, man.
All right.
Have another lozenge.
All right.
It's okay. yeah, so he's going to make us all feel bad by being a double amputee, and he's going to be a professional snowboarder and the Amazing Race winner.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
New.
What's going on with your quest to be in the Olympics in Rio in 2016 as a fencer? You made any steps toward that?
I was already in. I won. Didn't you watch?
It hasn't happened yet.
2016?
Oh, 2016.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Rio Games in
2012.
No. 2012. I want to know what's going on with you and Kevin fencing. That's all I care about is that video.
Well, if that's all you care about, you need a lot more hobbies.
You need life.
Okay.
Secondly, I've had a particularly busy couple weeks. Recently.
Yes.
So I, as soon as I get some free time.
He's afraid.
Which will be sometime in the fall. Then it's game on. It is
still happening, though. It's still on the calendar at some point, right?
Someone hand me a saber.
He's a scared.
And I will just fight you now. How about that? No swords, no nothing. Just you and me right now. Let's just fight and get it over with. We don't have to worry about Bean and his video or fencing or anything else.
We will all throw a lot of money in the pot.
Spit out your lozenge and let him go time.
Douche.
Selena Gomez is turning into quite the diva.
Is she?
According to Star Magazine. Just pick up some habits from her boyfriend, Justin Bieber.
That is fantastic.
She was filming a new movie called Parental Guidance Suggested. And it was time to shoot a scene, but she wouldn't come out because she said it was too hot.
Are you kidding me?
It was
an
outdoor scene, and she said she refused to shoot it because it was too hot.
How many people would you guess? How many people would you guess were out there in that heat waiting for her?
And had been.
All people.
Crazy.
The grips and the sound guys and the cameramen and the directors and everyone involved, I'm sure, was out in that heat saying, let's shoot. She refused, and again, according to Star Magazine, wouldn't come out of her trailer until the sun went down. When the sun crested over the horizon, she said, okay, now it's cool enough. I will go out and I'll shoot the scene.
Wow.
Listen, sweetheart, you are not nearly a good enough actor to pull that crap.
No kidding.
It's all right. She'll be done soon. Simon Cowell runs a tight ship over there on The X Factor, apparently. Britney Spears has been acting up a little bit, slacking off.
Love it.
And apparently, Cowell just snaps at her, just puts her right back in her place.
Does he really?
Doesn't take any crap off her whatsoever.
All right.
She showed up one day. Looking ragged, in his words, with bad hair extensions. And he told her to fire her stylist and get a new one.
Nice.
He cares about how she looks on the screen, which, as you can imagine. However, she showed up also another day braless to the set.
Right.
And he insisted she go back and put a bra
on. Well, what's wrong with him?
I don't know. He doesn't have to wear one. Why does she?
Braless is okay.
Great point.
It must be weird for Britney to be ordered around by anybody, but I mean, Simon is her boss. She works for him.
It's sweet. I think it's good.
Zero for effort.
Right.
Zero for style.
Okay.
Zero for star quality.
All right.
And you know what? I'm being generous.
Zero for boobs, apparently.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about fender-headed women. Porn star Kim Kardashian announced to V Magazine this week that she would like to break the mold and become the first reality star to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Wow. Wow.
The Hollywood Chamber of Commerce responded with the following statement. We don't do reality stars. She needs to get a real acting job and then come back to us.
They're usually not that harsh.
No, they're not, but I love it. Good for them. And, yeah. I was just thinking, all we went through, all the hoops we had to jump through to get Adam West his star. Now she just wants one.
She just wants one.
For being followed around by a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And hit her right in my head.
You don't think I feel bad?
No, not nearly enough. Guess who's in the chocolate business?
Guess who's in the chocolate business? I could not have seen coming.
That's kind of an open question. The band Train has announced they're getting into chocolate.
What?
I don't know. The San Francisco band has teamed up with their hometown legendary chocolate company, Ghirardelli.
Right.
For a series of Train chocolate bars. What the hell is this? Smash Mouth putting out a cookbook? Train's making chocolate bars? Can't anybody just make records anymore?
What's going
on? Nobody is making money off of records. You have to have these other income streams.
Some ancillary
product line. Yeah.
The first one is 72% dark chocolate. Do you like the dark chocolate? Are you
not as much. Not as much.
I do very much.
I'm not a big dark chocolate. My wife is crazy about dark chocolate. Like everything in our house is just
rather
dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a pinch, right? If you need chocolate, need it. But milk's the way to go.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
We need a Kevin and Bean bar.
We do. Look, now that Mark and Brian are out of the business, we need to come up with some cheap, gimmicky merchandise. Because I was looking the other day on eBay. Someone was selling their Mark and Brian collection.
Mm-hmm.
They had keychains and bottle openers and vulva covers and
just all crap.
Fly swatters. I don't know how much crap they've released over the past 25 years, but there's a ton of it. And all I remember is Kevin and Bean Gravy, which was not a big hit.
Because we were forced to pull it off the shelves before we could.
Well, because people were dying from botulism.
Well,
but other
it wasn't
than that,
technically FDA approved.
We did have Kevin and Bean Gravy. That's it.
No, there was the Kevin and Bean Super Light. Remember?
Super Light.
It was like, I don't know if it was called Super Light. It was called something else. The Beam. Super Beam.
It was
a tiny little keychain flashlight. It was when the blackouts were going on, and we gave them out. They were about the size of a matchbook.
Oh,
it was
hardly
a Super Beam.
We are quality.
And that's it. That's all I remember in terms of your merch. We got to up your merch. So a Kevin and Bean chocolate bar, I think, would be a great idea.
All right.
Okay.
The other Train chocolate bars, by the way, sea salt and almond.
Mm.
Stop it, Lisa. That sounds like ass.
It's yummy.
No, it's not. You don't put salt on your chocolate.
It's delicious. I've had a sea salt and almond bar, and it's yummy.
You are out of your mind.
You don't know chocolate.
And Cabernet grapes and chocolate bar.
Ew.
Grapes and chocolate.
I hate to agree with the girl, but the salted chocolate is a very, very popular thing these days,
Ralph. You love the taste of NyQuil. You have lost.
I do love the taste. If they can have a NyQuil-flavored chocolate,
that disqualifies you from all taste conversations.
Useless.
I didn't say it's my preference. I'm just saying I know that it's out there. It's popular. It sells big. A lot of people are really into the salted chocolate.
My
very
wife,
popular.
Again, who has horrible taste in chocolate with the dark chocolate, she was eating the other night, I kid you not, a salt and pepper chocolate bar.
Ugh.
And she said, "Here, no, but it doesn't taste like a thing. Taste it. I tasted it. You know what? It tastes exactly like I thought it was going to taste, like a chocolate bar with salt and pepper on it."
Did they run out of regular chocolate? What's happening?
I don't know.
Why do we need to reinvent
chocolate? Were people complaining? Chocolate is just too delicious. You better calm it down because I can't bear it anymore. Could you put some salt and pepper on it so I could resist it once in a while?
That's weird.
Chocolate's too good. Let's put some Drano in it and some mud.
Hell, Train. Oh, if I ever get a hold of Train, I'm gonna punch them right in the caboose.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Courtney Stodden. Remember that young girl who married Doug Hutchinson, star of Lost and The Green Mile?
When she was 16?
16 is when they got married. She was 16. He was 50.
That's normal. They're the happiest couple in the world, Ralph. How dare you hate on love?
They're on a VH1 couples therapy TV show, right?
Oh, that's
She's
right.
She's got fake boobs, fake lips, fake nose, fake cheekbones.
No.
She's fake.
No, God is her plastic surgeon.
Ah.
She's 18 years old today.
You are a murderer of love!
Liam Payne of One Direction is 19. Lea Michele of Glee is 26. Boy, it's just a teeny bopper day of celebration.
Sure is.
One Direction and Glee. Carla Gugino. She's 41 years old. Rebecca De Mornay celebrates her 53rd birthday. Robin Leach, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Damn, I'm sorry he stepped out of the spotlight. I do a crushing Robin Leach.
never
get to use it anymore. Yeah. He is 71, and Elliot Gould is 74 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I am going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say something that might be controversial. I may get hate mail, but I'm going to say it anyway. The most popular entertainer in the world today, named Aziz, in our studio right now, ladies and gentlemen. Aziz Ansari joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me back again.
Sure. It's always a pleasure. By the way, I maybe I asked this question out of ignorance. Is Aziz a popular name in someplace? I mean, are you one of a kind, or is that a name that a lot of other people share?
I don't run into too many Aziz's. It's not like... It's not like Mike in India or anything like that,
yeah, okay.
As far as I know.
So you're the only Aziz you've ever met.
There's like Abdul Aziz or like they'll be like combos.
No, those are posers.
But those guys are usually jerks.
No, you're full straight up Aziz. Man. Yeah, you're straight up, exactly. Aziz is in town because he is performing at the Orpheum Theater in Los Angeles. The shows are coming up on Thursday and Friday, September 13th and 14th. That's is there a lot of comedy held at the Orpheum? Is that a popular place for stand-up?
The Orpheum, I did it last time I toured. It's a really nice theater downtown. It's like a really old theater, and I did it downtown last tour I did, and then years ago I opened up for Flight of the Conchords there, too. It's a really nice theater.
Oh, fun. And this is going to be all new material, never before featured on any of your previous specials. You got a whole new act that you're bringing to the people, right?
Yep. It's all new stuff.
How long does that take? What do you do, an hour 15?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah.
How long does that take to put together? Like an afternoon?
It takes a few months of just kind of going out to small clubs in New York and L.A., kind of dropping in, workshopping stuff, and then eventually you put it together and you tour it for a while.
You do stuff that you try that you think is going to be funny and just fails miserably, and then you go back and scratch that right off?
I mean, usually it works okay. Usually it won't fail miserably if it doesn't work, but yeah, you just kind of call the best stuff together and tour it and then do it for a while, put out a special, and then no one ever wants to hear you say those things ever again.
That's different, isn't it? That's different because comedians used to do the same act all the time until now when you can get everything online. So I've already seen all your stuff, and then you got to change everything. That's got to kind of suck.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like when you're touring now, you have to make sure like people aren't just like taking videos with their phone and posting everything online because it's like, hold on, man. Wait a second.
I can't come up with material that fast.
I need to tour this.
You can buy tickets for Aziz at the Orpheum. They're on sale now through LiveNation.com. We had you on when you were promoting your last special for sale. I think it was Dangerously Delicious, the one that released through your website. And, of course, we were all watching with great interest to see how successful that was going to be for you and Louis and the other guys that did it. How did it work out? And in your rearview mirror, was that a successful business deal for you, Aziz?
Yeah, absolutely. I was so glad. I'm so glad I did it that way.
What was it, $5?
Yeah, same as what Louis C.K. did. And, yeah, it's great because, you know, I think – I mean, the whole impetus for trying to figure out a way to release it online was, like, I looked at how many – DVDs I sold versus how many views I had on YouTube, and it was like, okay, well, clearly people are watching it online, you know, and I think, like, if you're a company, the thought would be, well, let's get down all the clips, that's why people aren't buying the DVDs.
Yep.
It's like, no, they're not buying the DVDs because everyone likes to just watch stuff online.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Louis obviously figured out a method that was really effective that people really liked, and so...
That's been our problem for a long time, is the music companies said, we got to take down the music because people are not buying the CDs, but they're taking for granted that everybody watching it for free, or listening to it for free, would have gone out and bought it, and that's just not true.
Yeah.
That's just not true. So it's kind of cool to see people that'll pay $5 to...
Yeah, to see and I think special. People like that it's like, oh, you know, it's just going to the guy. It's like,
yeah.
You know... Then that I'm going to use the $5 to get tacos or whatever.
Get high. Tacos are high.
If you see me eating a taco and you bought the special, you contributed to that. My enjoyment.
It's a super win for the fan, too, because there's no way the DVD would ever be $5 because you got to add on all those other people that got to get paid when you start making something. So it's a total win. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of comedy, Aziz Ansari here in the studio, you are going to be one of the headliners at the New York Comedy Festival. This is crazy, by the way. When I saw this article in Entertainment Weekly, here's how it starts. Robin Williams, Ricky Gervais, Bill Maher, and Aziz Ansari among the comedians who will bring laughs. And I thought, what's going on here? One of these is not like the other, right?
One of these is not like the other.
Does Me and Bill weird? Maher are the only Indian people on the list.
That's right. I mean, that's heavy-duty competition. And this New York Comedy Festival, I mean, this is a big deal. You guys play all over the city. I mean, some people, like Kevin Hart, I think, is doing Madison Square Garden. There are some people who are doing Carnegie. Are you doing the Apollo?
I'm doing Carnegie Hall and the Apollo Theater, yeah.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I did Carnegie on the last tour. I've never done the Apollo Theater, though, so I'm really very excited.
Are bigger places like that much more difficult to do comedy? Smaller places better?
You know, I think once you pass, like, around 3,000 as far
matter.
As capacity, then it becomes like you have screens up and stuff, and it's just not as intimate a thing. Weirdly, you know, a theater that's around 2,000 to 3,000, it's still somewhat intimate as mm-hmm. a show. But once it gets to the point where you have to put up screens and things like that, it becomes kind of a different thing.
Are you a guy that it makes a difference that you're standing on a historical stage? I mean, I couldn't walk out on the stage of the Apollo Theater and not think about James Brown and Michael Jackson, all the people who have stepped on that stage before. Does that affect you at all? Is it exciting for you?
I didn't even think about that. I guess those guys were on that stage, yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Can you do any James Brown dancing while you're doing your act?
No, I mean, you know, I started off doing comedy in New York, so... You know, to get to perform at places like that, I mean, there's no bigger honor.
Is New York a tougher place to get into comedy than out here?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't start out doing here, so I can't really compare. I started in New York, but, you know, starting out comedy anywhere, it kind of
is rough.
It sucks. Yeah. It's hard. You really got to want to do it.
How long did it suck?
I mean, I was pretty lucky. Like, I was able to kind of work my way up somewhat fast. But, you know, the first year or so before you're...
A full year.
No. I'm saying, like, you know, when you're first starting out the first few years, it's hard to even get stage time. You know, it's hard to, like, find places that want to book you, and you're really struggling and hustling to get on stage.
Regardless of how well it goes over, you're still
having
trouble?
Yeah, I mean, people won't know who you are, you know? So, you know, eventually people are like, oh, I've seen that guy. He's really funny or whatever, and you'll get spots more frequently. But, yeah, I mean, it can be rough.
Now you walk in like a conquering king? You just have people's heads cut off and...
Yeah, now I come in, I'm like, give me some mozzarella sticks.
are there states that you don't go to anymore because you don't have to, Aziz?
I like going everywhere I can. It's just my schedule is limited because filming on Parks and Rec and things like that. So, you know, I personally try to go out of my way to go to, you know, smaller places that not everybody might tour because I grew up in a small town in South Carolina. And,
people seldom come through.
No one ever goes through. So if someone comes down, I think people are really appreciative. So, you know, I try to swing down to kind of smaller places when I can.
Well, that's great news for our North Dakota affiliate. They'll be very happy to hear about that.
I'm not going to North Dakota, though.
We don't have a North Dakota affiliate either, so that works well.
I'm talking like little places like Philadelphia.
Right, exactly. The small towns. Aziz Ansari is here. Before we get the Orpheum Theater, it's the Buried Alive Tour. You got to see this. It's all new material never before featured on his previous specials. You can buy your tickets through Ticketmaster or LiveNation.com. The dates, by the way, are September 13th and 14th. Again, tickets on sale now. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin Beach. One of the stars of Parks and Recreation and NBC. One of the voices of Ice Age, Aziz Ansari, in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. You can see him live on stage at the Orpheum Theater in Los Angeles, September 13th and 14th. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster.com or LiveNation.com with all new stuff.
Do you take full responsibility for the Ice Age?
For Ice Age?
Uh-huh. For its success?
Yeah, it was all me.
Okay.
And Drake.
Nice work.
Drake is a woolly mammoth.
There's no Ice Age without Squint. Come on, Kevin. Be real.
I hear you.
Let's talk about a couple of fun things, Aziz, that have happened since the last time we had you on. Tell me about the fan, I assume, who put you on every rap cover in his Tumblr. Tell me about that, because that's hilarious.
That was just someone, people just started sending me that on Twitter and stuff. And, this guy just started photoshopping my face onto all these, like, kind of iconic, like, rap covers. And it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
What's good is, like, the guys, like, really – I think it's, like, two guys, and they're really good at Photoshop. So, it, like, they do a pretty good job.
It looks real.
Yeah. So they've done – they did the Outkast album Stankonia recently. That was really good.
You're Jay-Z. You're Wiz Khalifa. You're Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. There's quite a few. Yeah.
You're probably pretty sexy as Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
And as a rap, as a true rap fan, what an honor, right? What a thrill to have someone do that.
It's not real. You know that, Bean.
No, but I'm just saying it's still fun. It's still fun to see, I would imagine.
I love all that weird stuff people do on the internet. There with Parks and Rec, there's been so many. There was like puppies that look like Tom Haverford, and people just found like puppies that had the same face as Tom Haverford in their teens. And they're always just like really well done and usually pretty clever.
People have a lot of time.
Yeah.
It turns out. Some of their jobs are boring and they start getting creative, and now they can do it better than anything else.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
What have your thoughts been on your man Kanye and his relationship that apparently is very hot with Kim Kardashian? Do you approve?
I've never met her, so I don't know. But yeah, whatever, you know, if he's happy, good for him.
Tell me why I saw photos of you online this morning wrestling on Parks and Recreation. Tom is wrestling Ron Swanson. Is that a scene from the upcoming season?
No, we shot like a promo for the Olympics, and that was hence the wrestling for that. Yeah.
So who won?
Ron Swanson.
Always say you did. No one knows.
I don't think Tom could beat up even the girls on that show. I don't think.
No, definitely not. You'd get destroyed.
What can you tell us about you say you're a few weeks into shooting now. What can you tell us about what's going on in Parks and Rec? Is it continue to go far out?
It's been really fun. This week we've been shooting this episode that's been pretty funny where Tom gets into a car accident because he's tweeting while he's driving.
Of course. Sweet.
And so he has to go a week without any screens, like no phones, no laptops, whatever. And he just kind of goes crazy. And like Ron Swanson takes him to his cabin and it just does not go as planned. That show's so fun. I mean, it was great to come back. Like, you know, I love working with all those people and everything. So
there are very few shows that take that many risks. They're out there.
Yeah, I mean,
I admire that because most of the time shows that are out there don't make it.
Yeah, I definitely feel very lucky to be on a show like that I actually like, and if I wasn't on it, I would be a fan of it. And yeah, I mean, there's so few TV shows that are really good.
Take
like
risks,
that, so.
You know.
Yeah,
and Ron Swanson has become some sort of an American hero too. I mean, I honestly feel like if he were on the ballot, I think he might win any election he chose to compete in. People love him. I mean,
he's a man of principle.
He is a man of principle. He's just such a throwback to him. He's a man's man. The men want to be like him, and the women want to be with him. I mean, what's not to like about him, right?
Yeah, he's great. And the guy who plays him, Nick Offerman, couldn't be a sweeter guy.
He seems like it. Yeah, he's hilarious. All right, listen, we're almost out of time. Orpheum Theater, September 13th and 14th. Aziz Ansari is going to be live on stage with all new stuff. We have tickets to give away. So we're essentially taking money out of your pocket
Do I get a cut of the giveaways?
I'm afraid not.
I don't think so. Sorry about that.
You're giving away 300 tickets? That's too many. That's too big a giveaway. Like four.
Every ticket that we give away is a ticket that you can't sell. So literally we're asking Aziz Ansari fans to call in and hurt the man. Put a dagger through his heart by dialing 1-800-520-1067. We have a few pair of tickets that we can give away to see him at the Orpheum. Everybody else, you can go out and buy them. Aziz, always great to have you on the show, man. We really appreciate you stopping by.
Of course. Anytime. Thank you guys very much for having me.
Thanks a lot for tuning into the program here on a Wednesday. I don't know if you have this category or not, Kevin, but on my list of the greatest bands ever that only had one album, I got to put the Sex Pistols right at the top.
Greatest bands ever that only had one album.
That has stood the test of time, band that is still powerful and exciting and a record that still sells year after year, that's still kind of a classic. You don't have a decent record collection if you don't own a copy of Nevermind the Bollocks, Here's the Sex Pistols. It's just a bona fide classic. And it came out like 35 years ago or something like that, and people still love it. And we are lucky enough here at K-Rock to have one of the members of the Sex Pistols, Steve Jones, who works here at K-Rock Sunday nights, has his own radio show where he plays music from 7 to 9 on Sunday nights. And the guy's just a legend, and it's a thrill to have him on the station.
He's a legend, and we're happy to have him. He's not exactly he doesn't talk at the speed we talk, though.
Yeah.
He has his own pace. Sure. I'll play a little bit of it.
Hello, you are listening to Jonesy's Jukebox on this lovely Sunday. It is the 19th of August, and I just want to put this out there. After the show, I'm going to run down to Hollywood Forever, where it's the 8th annual Johnny Ramone tribute. Be a lot of punters down there, and a lot of somewhat celebrities, me included, and we're going to have a good time. I can't wait. Hollywood Forever. It's on, is it Santa Monica? Somewhere there. Hollywood Forever. 1 second. Thank you. We're going to play two gallants. Or you would say...
Gallants.
Two gallants. Two gallants. My love won't wait. Jonesy's Jukebox, KROQ.
That's what I'm going to sound like just before I die.
It's hard to imagine him running anywhere.
It is, yeah.
Well, it is a thrill for us to welcome Jonesy to the studio here at the world-famous Kirak as he talks about the release of the 35th anniversary box set of their classic Sex Pistols album, Nevermind the Bollocks. Hi, Jonesy. How are you?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
That's great.
We were just talking about your show on Sunday nights.
Yeah. That's right. I do a show on Sunday nights on K-Rock.
Right, right, yes.
Jukebox,
right.
I'm surprised 35 years later there's anything left from the period in 1977 when the Sex Pistols were an active band that has not already seen the light of day. Can you tell us about some of the new material?
Yeah, we went in the old vault.
Right.
And came up with some old tracks.
Right.
Had not
been heard before.
Previously
been heard.
Been
heard.
Exposed.
Right.
To a wider audience.
Audience. Mm-hmm. Audience. Okay. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. You didn't interrupt. I was taking a breath.
I apologize. I didn't mean to
cut
you
off. I was fairly done.
Okay.
With, the statement.
Okay, all
I
right.
was making.
Okay.
And so, it was perfectly acceptable
okay.
for you
to jump in when I did.
Join
okay, so,
in the conversation.
Right.
When
I did. Okay,
I
so let me.
Finished my fault. It was.
Right.
It was more
right, if
than
I could,
applicable.
Okay, let me
for
just.
You to begin your next fault.
Okay.
That's
demo,
how conversation works.
Right, right. No, I understand that. Right. Again, I'm not trying to interrupt. We're just
I'm not trying to interrupt
pace.
Neither, but.
Okay.
If you want to, if you have another question,
I'd like to ask that.
Feel
if
free.
Okay.
To begin.
Okay, can you begin now?
So you have demos of your songs from the album, also bootlegs, a live DVD, which surprised me because the Sex Pistols were notoriously horrible on stage. Right? You guys were terrible live. You barely knew how to play your instruments, and every show just descended into chaos. Right?
That was the. The general consensus of, at the time.
Right.
But I remember we did a show once for people.
Right. For an audience.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Audience.
Right.
And it was...
Not good.
It was... No. I didn't say that.
It was great?
No. Not, did not say that, neither.
It was fair to Midland.
It was... I remember the audience was star-studded. A lot of people had come, they heard about the band.
Oh, don't feel like you have to name them all,
and
though.
So,
like who?
remember Jerry Reed was there.
Jerry Reed?
Yeah.
The country star?
Yeah.
Okay.
Guitar man, that guy? Okay.
I think it was Blake Lively. I
doubt Blake Lively.
Audience.
I would not have even been born at the time the Sex Pistols.
Lee Majors. Was there, I remember that.
Okay. That seems unlikely.
$6 Million Man.
That's Lee Majors,
yes,
right.
That was the show that he was on. Yeah.
Oh,
listen.
oh. The Fall Guy.
He was on The Fall
Guy. He was also on The Fall Guy, yes.
Listen, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, he played a stuntman.
That's not
who,
important.
Who, when he wasn't performing stunts on the set of a major Hollywood motion picture.
All right, we don't really have enough time.
High budget television production.
Right.
This isn't about Lee Majors.
He would augment his income.
Yes.
By, I forget what he did.
Being a private investigator?
Something
maybe?
Like that.
I don't know.
Something like a bounty hunter. Or,
we're going to actually say goodbye.
Gun for hire, perhaps. You know,
that's fine. Let's save that for another
time.
If
you needed help.
Right.
And you could find
No, that's the A-team. That's the
A-team. No, they were there, too.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Mr. T.
Mr. T, right. But we got to go. We want to congratulate
you. By the way, never drank tea.
Okay. Mr. T never drank tea.
We were backstage.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Johnny saying, would you care for some tea?
Right.
And by tea, of course, he meant heroin.
Right. Right. That's a great story.
But,
congratulations on the record.
Mr.
Congratulations.
T said, I don't drink tea.
Right.
I thought that was weird. With okay. a name like Mr. T.
Understood, right.
It's like if you bought a Mr. Coffee coffee maker.
Right.
And you found
right.
And then you realized it didn't make any coffee.
7 to 9,
I
70
think
nights.
You would take that right back to the store.
Probably.
And you say, oi.
You're probably
you
right.
Hunter, you sold me a coffee maker.
Listen to Jonesy's Jukebox. Thank you for the time,
even
Steve.
Even make bloody
great to,
coffee.
Great to have you on. We appreciate the time, sir.
I remember Brandy Chastain saying to me.
What?
No, no. It wasn't Brandy Chastain at all.
Who was it?
I believe it was Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
All right. Said to me.
We gotta go.
I know. She was dead by then.
Yeah. We gotta
Anson go. Williams. It was Anson okay. Williams.
All right. We gotta go.
Hey, aren't we supposed to talk to Billy Corgan on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean show? Is that supposed to be happening?
Hey, yes. Hey.
No.
Nope.
About the Pumpkins coming back to town.
Oh, what, Dave? That was Dave, the
Dave
game
just threw water on that idea. Well, that was a good idea. All right. I tell you what we do have coming up right after the top of the hour. We have highlights, if you want to call them that, of TLC's new freak show, Abby and Brittany. They are conjoined twins, Ralph. They're 22-year-old college seniors, two heads, one body.
Abby Normal is what they should call that show.
I've been doing some research. It looks like there's two boobs, not four.
Well, oh, really?
Well, they have one body, Kevin. What did you expect?
I didn't know, because they said you had two separate hearts, separate stomachs.
Separate lungs, separate stomachs.
Separate but it's lungs. All in one body.
But separate lungs.
But the outside is one body.
I didn't know what to expect. This is new to me.
Well, you should have expected one body. Since right.
I didn't know what
body.
To expect either. I would like to know more about what's going on under that sweater. I'm just saying.
Oh, for God's
no,
sakes.
I'm saying it could be more. You don't know how many boobs.
It could all be right. like 12.
We'll yes, discuss. Yes, there could have been 12 boobs. You're right. That's what we're all expecting.
Oh, wait. You're thinking of a cat.
Oh.
We'll discuss coming up after the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You'll discuss after the 9 o'clock hour.
Nice.
Thank you. Good night,
nicely
everybody.
Done.
Lady Laha!
She's a mess.
She is a mess.
Latest and greatest from TMZ.com. You know I've been following a story where she was supposedly stealing stuff from the guy who was having a party at his house. She was staying over and pilfering. And then it was complicated conversations back and forth between her and the hosts. And she's like, oh, no, I was hiding stuff around the house because I didn't want a burglar to get it.
I was afraid it would be stolen.
She's got lies like a 10-year-old.
She does.
Then she told she contacted the host and said, I'm sorry, please pray for me.
Now what does that mean?
I think it means,
she stole it.
She admitted she was guilty.
Allegedly.
Anyway. We got a brand new story about Lindsay and her fact that she can't get her act together. She has been banned from the Chateau Marmont.
That's her home.
Where will she live if she's not at the Chateau Marmont?
Why has she been banned? What'd she do?
Well, Kevin, here's the thing about the Chateau Marmont, and I think this is kind of persnickety of them, and I don't appreciate their attitude, but apparently if you stay there and you eat and drink there,
mm-hmm.
they want to be paid.
What?
Yes.
How picky can they be?
They expect some sort of remuneration in exchange for the goods and services they provide.
She's not paying?
Oh, no.
Does she think everything in life is free? You go into a jewelry store, you can take what you want. You go to a house, you take what you want. You go to a hotel, you take what you want.
According to TMZ, Lindsay has reportedly been sent a letter from the general manager saying she is banned from the hotel and must pay her outstanding bill for her stays there during June and July.
This is not the first time.
Nope.
She has owed them a ton of money.
Nope. And they have an ass full, apparently.
Wow.
There have been many requests for payment. She has never paid. To the best of my knowledge, not even responded. But here's what she owes. This is for June and July.
All right.
But let's play a little game. What do you think?
Okay.
What do you guess? And, you know, we can round it off to the nearest. But what do you think she owes the Chateau Marmont for June and July?
I don't know. I'd say the rooms are $200 to $300, maybe. I'd say
better than that, north of that.
$500.
Okay,
all right, $500.
But think, also, you know, think food, drink, rooms, the whole nine yards.
I'd say
she sometimes stays there for several days in a row
I'd say $20,000.
I think that is a reasonable guess.
All right,
She owes $46,350.04.
Wow.
Well over $46,000 for her stays in June and July.
This is why she goes broke.
This is why she steals stuff. So she spends it and pay her bills.
She spent $3,145 on the mini bar alone in the hotel room.
How do you do that?
You eat those cashews, that's for sure. You eat the $9 cashews. You drink everything that's in there.
Ralph, when I check into a hotel, they don't give me the key to the room unless I put down a working credit card that they can charge my charges to.
Don't compare yourself to the you're not to Lindsay. The famous, to the rich.
So she
famous.
Just shows up and doesn't have to put down a credit card, basically. They just assume she'll pay for it later.
I doubt it's even her room. I think she just goes around trying doorknobs, and one of them opens up, and she just goes inside.
And they're used to it.
Sleeps with whoever is in there, and then drinks their mini bar. I just picture taking all the little bottles out of the mini bar and all the big bottles and mixing like cognac and like Starbucks cappuccino, just putting it together and just drinking it down 000. In a big pitcher. Yeah, she spent almost $2,000 on the restaurant there in one day and also spent another almost $700 on room service that same day.
It has to be like expensive bottles of wine or drinks.
Like $2,500
right?
just on food for one day while she was there. So anyway, wow. banned from the chateau.
Because you can't spend that much on food. Must be wine or something.
But she's got hanger-ons as well.
Oh, I see.
I'm sure she brings in whatever lowlifes she's airtight with that week, and she just sits them all down and feeds them and gets them loaded.
That's alleged.
So that they will continue to make sweet, sweet love to her and provide her with nose candy.
That's alleged.
It's all alleged. Of course it's alleged. You know, it's not alleged. Slash's mom had a romantic relationship with David Bowie. Guns N' Roses guitarist was talking to an Australian radio station this week when he said, in fact, he knows that they were romantically involved because when he was a kid, he walked in on his mom and David Bowie going at it.
David Bowie is not a typical-looking man.
He looks like an alien, if that's what you mean.
That must have been frightening.
He's got manorexia, and he, I'm sure back at when this was going on, had a shock of red hair. He probably looked like Ziggy Stardust.
Bunch of makeup.
Pale, pale, pale skin. Uncircumcised British penis.
Mm. Saw them last night at the Troub.
You walk in, and there's Slash's mom, a costume designer named Ola Hudson, who worked with Bowie professionally, but as Slash said, it obviously turned romantic and personal at some point.
Ooh.
Slash walked in and saw David Bowie's willy, he says.
That's not what you want to see when you're a kid.
Bowie, of course, is famously reclusive these days. He is retired from his career, but we did reach out to him to see if he had a statement in response, if he'd like to confirm or deny this story from Slash, and this is what his people sent over.
A young Slash saw my willy. A young Slash saw my willy. A young Slash saw my willy. A young Slash saw my willy.
Apparently he
A young Slash saw my willy.
Confirming the story.
A young Slash saw my willy.
Slash indeed did walk.
A young Slash saw my willy. A young Slash saw my willy. Slash on my willy.
They slept together.
That's right. Slash on my willy. A young Slash on my willy. He came in and saw my willy.
Not ideal.
A young Slash on my willy.
Walked into the room and saw
that young Slash on my willy. I was banging Slash's mother. He walked right into our when he saw my willy.
Okay.
Young Slash, he saw my willy.
Right,
he pointed and said, that's a willy. That is an uncircumcised willy.
I don't think we need
David Bowie's uncircumcised.
Alright,
who knew?
I take that as a yes. Today's celebrity birthdays: Elliot Gould is 74. Robin Leach, the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous host, is 71. Rebecca De Mornier is 53. Carla Gugino is 41. Leah Michelle is 26 years old. Liam Payne of One Direction is 19. And model lunatic Courtney Stodden, who married that 50-year-old dude a couple years ago, she is now 18 years old. It's official. She's too old for her husband. She's over the hill. He's going to trade her in for a new model. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What can possibly be left to talk about at this point, Ralph?
I have all brand new stories.
What?
Everything I said before, just moving on.
All right.
What a great day. What a great day in show business news. Quick recap, though. I did want to mention, in case you missed it last hour, Lindsay Lohan! In the news, our entertainment news website of record, TMZ.com, with a great story about the fact that she has been now banned from Chateau Marmont. On Sunset there, where she was a fixture, a staple. If you want to see Lindsay Lohan, that's where you went in town.
No kidding.
And she
lived
a condo,
there for long
right?
stretches. Yeah, she has a home, but yeah. She would live there for long stretches. She would be partying there at the bar. She would be entertaining Lady Gaga overnight, having sleepovers. And by sleepovers, I mean.
I don't right. know what that means, Ralph.
People can't see that, though, Ralph.
Oh, just give me the V for victory.
Probably could.
They have announced they have banned her from the hotel.
Wow.
For the piddling little reason, for the this picayune little reason of she has not paid her bill of $46,000.
Wow.
Someone tweeted me, Lindsay Lohan owes the Chateau Marmont what I owe in student loans.
No kidding.
And I said, thank you for the perspective.
That's it crazy.
Is, she is just an entitled little brat. They've asked her repeatedly.
She'll get it to them.
To pay for the bill. This is only June and July, by the way. This is her bill outstanding from June and July.
We were told, though, that she's going to make $2 million this year. She could probably afford to pay that bill if she wanted to.
But who knows where that money is
Doesn't
now.
Mean she's going to give it to him.
Yeah. What's she going to do, sneeze? She's going to sneeze some of that money out that she put up her nose?
That's alleged.
Oh, that is alleged. Lindsay allegedly spent over $3,000 on the minibar alone.
That seems almost impossible.
You really have to have no particular brand of alcohol or food that you want if that's the case.
Just, I'll take everything.
Because they just give you two of each. So you're going to say, all right, I'm going to drink the cognac, I'm going to drink the gin, I'm going to drink the vodka and the Jack and the Baileys in one
and
glass.
And get knocked back down and, yeah. and get up again.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I don't know. I like that one. Then she also spent, in one day, $2,000 at the restaurant and about $700 on room service in one day.
How about the whores?
No
whore bill?
No numbers here on what she spent on the whores, Rodney. But, so anyway, Lindsay's banned from the Chateau.
Wow.
What lucky, lucky hotel will be next in the roulette wheel of Lindsay to to now be her home away from home? We'll have to wait and see. I'm guessing the Sea View here around the corner.
Sea View?
That's where she's going to be.
That is a poorly named hotel.
Or Seaway. Is it the Seaway?
Seaway.
Seaway. That's, what, yeah. so that's more appropriate because it is on your way to the sea if you're going.
If you drive another 20 miles.
If you're going that way, you would get to the sea eventually.
30 miles.
Kim Kardashian, another update. We were talking about the shaky Church of Kardashian that Kris Jenner founded, which I discovered when it turned out that they were donating the proceeds of the eBay sales of all of Kim's clothes that Kanye West took out of her closet this past episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Instead of throwing it away, they're going to sell it for eBay, and they said they were donating all the money to a church, to which I initially thought was very magnanimous of them. It turns out the church in question is a church that has been founded by Kris Jenner.
That's all kinds of weird.
They're getting tax-free money sent to mom from the sales of the eBay clothing, while at the same time reaping the positive press of saying that she's donating it to a church. Which in my mind is shaky. This is a church, by the way, that holds its services at a Sheraton in Agoura Hills.
Yeah, and where do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
Well, thanks to the listener who sent me this news story that they dug out of the past. This is when her marriage was over after 72 days.
Right.
And she announced publicly, instead of returning all the wedding presents, she would be making a donation exceeding the amount that they total.
To a church.
Well, how nice for everyone who sent her a wedding gift.
Wow. Well, instead of sending them back, Lisa, instead of returning those gifts, she's going to do even better. She's going to do even more of a generous gesture, Lisa. She's going to write her own check for an amount that totals more than the amount of all the presents put together, and she is going to give that check to a church, Lisa.
She's a bitch.
And who founded that church?
The church she ended up giving that donation to was the same church that was founded by her mom, Kris Jenner. Mm-hmm. This is a money laundering operation.
Seems like
it. That's what this is. This is the mob.
Allegedly.
Is Harvey on this story, Ralph?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about it.
Somebody
on
needs
TMZ.
To be. Somebody besides Ralph.
The one lone voice in the wilderness screaming somebody about this?
Somebody needs to get your back.
Someone with any actual clout should talk about this.
Look, because as you pointed out yesterday, if you're wrong and this is all completely legit, you're more than willing to broadcast that information too. But
absolutely.
It does, on the surface, seem pretty effing
I'm
shaky.
Just saying, show us the books. That's all I'm saying. Open up the books. Kim, of course, as I mentioned before, donates 10% of her yearly salary. She tithes it to a church as well.
Which one, Ralph?
That would be the same said church founded by her mom, Christian. God. So she's making about $35 million a year, they say, Kim Kardashian.
Wow.
This church can't afford a building.
So $3.5 million a year goes to this church, and they have to hold their services at the Sheraton. That is steep rent the Sheraton is asking for their ballrooms these days.
Wow.
So there's your update on that story. And then lastly, before I let you go home, everybody, I want to thank listener Bean for sending me this one. This was creepy beyond all words. Here's the thing. I don't watch the Honey Boo Boo Show.
Right.
I've never seen a moment of the Honey Boo Boo Show.
Right.
I saw the little trailer with her saying, Dolla, make me holla, honey, or whatever she said.
That's all you needed
to see?
That's
all I needed to see.
Yeah. You haven't fallen in love with her from hearing the clips from the TV show on this program?
No, sir. I have not. Nor have I ever seen a photo of the family until today. But Mama, she's a mongoloid, right?
Well, there's something wrong with her.
I think there's something wrong with that gene pool, and I think science will bear me out, thanks to the story that Bean sent me this morning. The sister was pregnant, you know?
Chickadee, the 17-year-old, right?
Chickadee, yeah. June's daughter.
Not thicky or fatty or...
No, you're thinking of Chubb.
Tubby?
Chubb is the 50-year-old. Chubb is Chickadee, the 17-year-old.
Chickadee, the 17-year-old, who's now apparently
18.
And
there's Pumpkin, the 12-year-old. That's right, she's 18 now.
She gave birth on July the 26th to a brand new baby, Caitlin. Caitlin, who arrived to this planet 6 pounds and 2 ounces.
Poor Caitlin doesn't have a chance.
Well, I think she's got a little something extra going for her. Turns out on her right hand, she has 4 fingers and 2 thumbs.
Oh,
yeah!
No.
Yep.
No.
4 fingers and 2 thumbs. She's going to be the best hitchhiker ever in Georgia.
That's not a category anymore, Ralph.
Best hitchhiker ever.
So she can do who's got 3 thumbs and is doomed to a redneck hell, this girl.
Do not challenge her to a thumb war.
Oh, my God.
She's stockpiling ammunition for the thumb war. Now, the rumor had it that Mama June, had been making fun of baby Caitlin because of her deformity.
Well,
she wants
sure
to,
she
wants to set that record straight. Why would she make fun of a baby with 3 thumbs? Just because she mocks her overweight daughter by calling her Chubbs?
She calls her daughter Chubbs.
And let's not forget that June herself has forklift foot. She
That's
won't even
right.
take off her shoes and socks around people because her foot is so deformed from that tragic accident.
Well, June's setting the record straight. She goes, we have embraced the abnormality. It makes Caitlin more special to us. So there you go, baby Caitlin with 11 fingers.
Wow.
Just born to the Honey Boo Boo family. So it's just, they are just perfect on every level.
By the way, and Chickadee is just the latest in a long line of family members who essentially has no idea who the father is. The father is out of the picture from the minute they leave. As soon as they drop the kid off at the house after doing him in the car, they're out of the picture.
I think it's Papa Bear or whatever.
Don't say it's Sugar Bear.
Sugar Bear, yeah.
No.
Don't say that.
First of all, he loves those Super Sugar Crisps. I know that. He can't get enough of that cereal. And now I think he's banging all the kids.
Please don't say that.
I'm just... Oh, yeah, because they're just the model of civility and sophistication.
No, let's not make it worse than it is.
It couldn't be any worse than it is. They're so inbred, they're starting to get extra digits.
Yeah,
true. That's happening.
Extra thumbs.
That's a sign that you need to rethink what you're doing.
You need to diversify the gene pool a little bit. Once you start coming up with extra body parts, it's time to move outside the family.
Have sex with somebody outside the house?
That's what I'm saying. Broaden your horizons.
This show is every stereotype anyone has ever had about the South.
It's madness. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Courtney Stodden is 18 years old. Talking about freaks. Yeah. She was the 16-year-old who married the 50-year-old. And by the way, today is her 18th birthday. According to the news report I read this morning, she had received today four separate offers from four different porn companies.
Is that right?
Offering her $1 million contracts if she will film a porn movie for
them. Well, remember her tweets were all about, like, super sexy.
Oh, yeah.
But then a Bible verse. It was really weird.
She said her one tweet was, I turn 18 tomorrow. She posted this yesterday. I turn 18 tomorrow. I cannot wait to blow ... the candles out.
See?
See what she did
She's
there?
She's so suggestive.
And then it was John 3:16 in the next one. I don't know.
That's weird.
Liam Payne of One Direction is 18 years old. Leah Michele of Glee fame is 26. A little old to be in high school, don't you think, Liam Michele?
Yeah.
Carla Gugino is 41 years old. Did Carla Gugino get a start on Spin City? Was she Michael J. Fox's girlfriend on Spin City?
I don't
Was that Paula Marshall? I always get those two confused.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I brought this up. No.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. Don't email me. I will get immediately off the air. I will go to Google, and my answer will be waiting for me there. So no need. No need to put yourself out, people.
Ralph, are you drunk?
Yes. Rebecca De Mornay is 53. Robin Leach from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous is 71. And Elliot Gould celebrates his 74th birthday. One of my favorite actors. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Kamau Bell, who's going to be on the program. A new TV show called Totally Biased with Kamau Bell. We have Megan Mullally on the show tomorrow, who, of course, is on Parks and Rec and is on Children's Hospital.
Yes.
We have Kira Sedgwick on the show tomorrow.
What?
Who's the closer and is also
the
in...
The Mama of the Possessed.
The Possession. Top 10 junk foods, which Bean will not tell me the list because his guess is that I eat all of them.
Bean would add NyQuil to that list, so he's really not the go-to guy.
This is a list of junk foods that the author claims have no business existing.
Wow.
Which I take exception to, because there's nothing wrong with, you know, something that tastes great and is bad for you every once in a while.
I hope candy corn's on that list.
And also Dr. Drew tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.